Hey, everybody. Welcome to Pittsburgh Comic Podcast number 166. I laughed because Adam, like, exhaled right as I started. It's just really weird. It's like, why would you even do that?
Because Ryan used to do that, too.
So.
You need to tell.
Oh, I have a special announcement of a special guest next week. You have to wait till the end for me to tell you.
Why would you tell us this?
It's a teaser. It's like the news.
Is it a,
if you buy this product, you'll die. We'll tell you at 6. And they start that like at 1 in the afternoon.
Is it an old podcaster?
It is. Very old podcaster.
Scott Snyder?
No. Oh, that'd be awesome.
It's Sean.
Way to ruin his teaser.
That's okay.
He didn't confirm
Adam
it.
Likes to ruin everything, so you know, I'm just used to it. But I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are...
Josh.
Dave.
Pat.
Adam.
Brisket.
Brisket. Brisket in the belly. That's always a good end of the day. You know, I can sleep happy tonight.
No matter which day you come to the store, Colin is eating brisket that day at some point.
It's better than Burger King, right?
Yeah.
You know?
I guess.
Yeah. They could mix in a salad every once in a while. I did have soup for lunch. You know,
so. I go up there every time and I get a salad.
It depends what kind of salad it is. Just because it has lettuce, I make it a salad.
True.
You put in big nacho
salad. Right, right. Fair
nacho
enough.
Salad where there's like a leaf.
Yeah.
It's ground up on top. It's like some sort of garnish or something.
Sure, I'll get tired of it at some point, but it's, yeah. So
if
shout out.
If that were the case, then his brisket sandwich.
They should be free
salad.
By now, but Firehouse Subs has this brisket sandwich.
Well, I mentioned because they're
really
doing
good.
A failed intervention, so now this way all your podcast listeners can come in and say,
come
Colin.
Help me intervene, because I shouldn't eat one every
on
day.
We care about you, and you
tomorrow
don't need
I'll
to
be
have
a Firehouse Sub.
Fair enough. But maybe they could send me a free one. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, you just plugged them
you don't
on
get
your,
one on
your podcast.
No, I don't get one on Sunday or Monday.
Both our listeners.
How about Friday?
Or Friday.
Yeah.
Both
so
our listeners.
When I'm
three.
Here, you get a sandwich.
Pretty much, that's...
Then
and then
Wednesday,
when Josh,
so
yeah.
3 days in a row, you get us that sandwich.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
In all fairness, though, he doesn't probably eat a full lunch today.
No. So I had a cup of soup today. Yes, a cup o' soup. You know, that you put the hot water in, it turns the hard noodles. No, not hard noodles.
That doesn't sound good.
It's not very good. But
it's not a sandwich.
Because I had to eat something.
You
can't order in a pizza.
He imagined it was a brisket sandwich.
Could. Yeah, but I couldn't. Then they deliver it, and it's like a $4 delivery charge. And I did that once. It was like a fish sandwich, and it came to like $12. I'm like, okay, that was not a $12 fish sandwich. So.
Sandwich.
I tend to just start, suffer and murder myself.
Yeah. I hate that word. Sandwich.
Sandwich.
Murder. I thought you were going to say murder. Yeah. I was like, that's
I
a worse
say
word.
Murder. I said martyr.
Martyr.
You're going to murder yourself. That's what
I'm
I thought
not
going to
murder myself.
That's called suicide, not murder.
Yeah.
You can't murder yourself, Colin.
I'm sorry.
Should we start over?
I'm thinking maybe we should. Nobody's listening now. I don't care what Colin eats, and why is Adam talking about sandwiches?
You were talking about sandwiches.
No, talk about sandwiches.
New podcast, Pittsburgh Sandwiches.
He's thinking about it. What are you doing
with that? See, I get behind this.
I could do
I'd rather
do
eat
that.
Sandwiches all week long than read comics.
Well.
I don't think his gout could handle it.
No.
Oh.
Like, you're like, oh.
He'll be paying for that brisket tomorrow.
No, I should be okay with the brisket. That's why you... So let me take a...
If he didn't pay for it today...
I medicated myself.
Okay.
As long as he has that, he's good.
So, let's go to Pat's news.
Okay.
That's a lot of notes. Is that all news?
No.
Oh,
that's
my gosh.
Mostly,
that's
what I read.
That's the shebang.
That's the shebang. Oh, you took... Okay.
So, we can all step
and
away.
Actually, that's... That's
his news.
So, the first thing was they...
It's not called the shebang.
Oh, it's called the shebang.
The sandwich is wearing off.
Shebang has an A
yeah.
after the SH.
Sandwich is wearing
shebang
off.
Has
you
a
don't worry about who shebang. We're on news right now. We'll talk about the shebang later. The first
Could
thing.
You make more noise? Oh my cow.
Probably.
Sorry.
Well, at least it's not sensual noises.
I was doing my daredevil at my eyes.
I was trying not to bring that up during the podcast, but now Pat opened up the door.
He's not making love to a sandwich.
If we start recording 5 minutes earlier, this would have been a very explicit podcast.
Yeah.
Yep. So they tentatively named the spinoff for the Flash Arrow show, but it's going to be The Atom.
That's what they're going to call it?
That's what it's tentatively
and Friends, or?
Just right,
Super Friends. Done.
That's what it should have been. But, you know, it's The Atom, and from what I heard, Captain Cold and
I love Captain Cold.
The Canary. And
it makes sense that he would get his own show because he's the biggest like star of all of them.
Oh yeah.
Are they trying to? It seems like they're trying to make him like the Iron Man of. He's more Iron Man-ish
than Adam.
Yeah.
But this week's episode leads into
that
the Adam.
Okay. Well, yeah. There was some on the Flash yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he talked a little bit about that. Yeah. And, the whole idea is make it smaller. So yeah. That's
his whole thing.
Yeah. That's his way in.
Less iron, more ant.
What's that?
Less iron, more ant.
Yes.
Yeah. They cast Psylocke for the X-Men movie. Olivia Munn.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well,
I know. Name.
She was.
She was a G4 host.
Yeah, she was in Iron Man 2 as well. It like in a cameo.
Was she?
Yeah, it was just a cameo thing. When they were at the
racetrack.
The Stark Expo or whatever. She was like the TV host for that.
Oh. Okay.
Her mother is Chinese, so they actually cast a Asian Psylocke.
It'd be better if she was British, but okay.
Yeah, she's from Oklahoma, so that's a little bit a little bit far away from England, but that's okay. I can live with that.
Pat says it's okay, Colin.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I wanted them to cast the girl from Harry Potter. Cho Chang.
Oh, Cho Chang. I'm sitting there going, Hermione?
Hermione?
No. But Cho Chang, she's British. Well, actually, I think she's Scottish and Asian.
Yeah,
that's a niche character right there for her.
Yeah. I like how that's how you figure out Asian, British.
Yeah, put them together. And there you go. The director for Wonder Woman has left the building. And the rumor that I read was that she may be headed towards Marvel to do the Captain Marvel movie.
Heard she went to Wonder Woman to have a tiger?
Yeah.
Sidekick?
Talkie-tawny? That's how they're going to bring, Talkie-tawny.
Okay, then she can go. For everybody gnashing their teeth, that would have been really dumb.
Yeah. And part of the article, they were talking about how the only really well-known woman to do, or the only big comic book movie that was done by a woman was the Punisher Warzone movie. It was directed by a woman. It isn't.
That one's so well talked about.
It isn't. If you watch it under the right circumstances, it's not.
I guess if it's a direct
So drunk
copy
or stoned?
Drunk works really well.
Okay.
No, but if you try to take it serious, then it's...
This may not be popular to say, but I kind of don't dislike the Thomas Jane Punisher movie.
Oh, I do like that movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
It seems like most people kind of hate it. So.
I think he could fit into this Daredevil.
And I really loved that like little short they did where
the Dirty Laundry. That was really good.
I think he could fit into this Marvel universe. Did they buy him? They get him back?
Yeah, they got him back. They got Ghost Rider back and Blade back.
Yeah, I never understood how that one got the Lion Gate. Like, it was the only one that kind of went the Lion Gate of all companies.
Didn't Lion's Gate have Blade?
That was New Line. It might have been because of the Dolph Lundgren Punisher movie from in the 80s.
So somehow it was, sold off. And
yeah, that was a horrible movie. I don't get that at all. The Punisher's costume is a skull T-shirt.
Yeah,
that's all you had to do, and they screwed that up.
They even explained it in the Thomas Jane version of why he had it because his son picked it up when
yeah.
they were on the beach.
It was one of those things they were pricing and saying, "Yeah, his costume in the book is only that T-shirt, but on screen, I think we need to do more.
Yeah.
Do more."
Yeah.
I didn't mind that. Maybe that.
No, that one it was good. I liked it.
The Captain Marvel movie apparently is hiring one of the writers from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh.
So I guess they're going to try to inject some humor into
it.
But they already have their writers.
Apparently not. And then one of the big rumors was she was going to make an appearance at the end of the Avengers, and that's been debunked at this point, I think.
I mean, we've seen every scene from Avengers just cut up in different pieces.
That was one of my friends on Facebook.
And we edited it all together basically ourselves, said, we'll have
basically said, enough, guys. You're giving the whole thing away at this point.
I was telling them they had an article out today about like the origin story of Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver, and I was just like, leave it for the movie.
I know, I'm like,
leave it.
I'll wait for the movie, that's fine. Yeah. I'm good.
Well, and
something...
Even with that...
Give us something to watch.
Yeah.
I think it comes out in England next week. And it comes out here the following week. And it's like, I get why they do it here on Free Comic Book Day.
Yeah.
But, you know, they did that with Iron Man, too, where it debuted in China, I think, a week and a half or 2 weeks before it was here. And I'm like, that's how things get bootlegged. Just saying, you know, if you do a...
China? What?
Well, if you do a worldwide release, you don't have to worry about that until, you know... Saturday, but you know, when you got a week between, someone's going to get it up on the internet and it's going to be bootlegged before you know it.
Yeah, I'll see the movie and I'll enjoy it, but like right now I have pretty much zero excitement for Avengers 2 just because it's been so much. Like I was telling you, I want it to be over and done with.
They're overdoing it.
Hater.
Yeah. It's what I was saying, like it's the same for me with Guardians of the Galaxy. Like, I like Guardians of the Galaxy, but they so overplayed it all for an entire year.
But at least
and then
that
after
was
a while,
something new.
Before we even got like, we were complaining about.
No, they didn't, because with Guardians, they really didn't start marketing it until like 3 months before it came out.
Yeah, but we were kept hearing about Thanos and all sorts of things happening.
Yeah, like, but it was that was a
that's
an unproven, you know, movie. Like they had no idea how that was going to do. Yeah. This we've seen several standalone movies and one team-up movie with these characters. We know what we're getting. You don't need to shove it down our throats like this much. Like, you're going to get people in the seats.
Yeah, just... The whole thing with that movie, though, with me, as much as I like the movie, I just... After... I just felt like I got too much of it. Like, they were, you know... I was hearing too much about it from everybody. It's going to be great. I was just like...
Maybe
I just
you need
see
to not
the
hang
movie.
Out in a comic book shop.
Well, no. It's just...
Just saying.
I got tired of it after a while.
Fair point.
It just, no, I mean, even on the internet and this, and I was just hearing too much.
But now,
but
the other movie, Batman Superman, that one, I think, needs something badly now.
Yeah.
I hate the stupid thing they're doing, like, tomorrow, a five-second clip of the trailer. And then you can sign up to go to a theater and see a screening of it on Monday, and then eventually there'll be a trailer you can watch. Like, give me a break. Just give me the freaking trailer.
Is that coming out this year or this summer?
No, next year. Next March.
That's right, because it was delayed.
It was, like, January.
No, March 2016. March, yeah. It was originally supposed to be, April. Well, no, that was the first thing. It was supposed to be at the end of the year, and then it got pushed back. And I think Star Wars bumped it. And then it was going to be at... I think Free Comic Book Day weekend. And then Captain America took that spot, and they didn't want to go head-to-head with that. So they bumped it back again, and now it's in March. It's still a year out, so I didn't expect to see a full trailer. But
it's a year out, but the movie's been getting so much like internet hate over every single piece of news that comes out. I feel like they should just show something to like appease.
Yeah. People. Well, and it filmed much longer than a typical movie would.
You gotta have something planned so it seems relevant.
Yeah,
like, it's right now not seeming as relevant as everything else, because even Marvel, as we said, is overdoing it almost.
Well, yeah, and I don't want them to overdo it. I just want to see, like...
Like, as if we go back with, like, Ant-Man, and we even got the tiny teaser, the ant-sized teaser, and it's just like, come on, just leave it alone.
But
like,
you know what, though? That was kind of...
And then they're putting it
that
on
was appropriate
the
for that, and that was kind of okay.
I guess.
And forget about the comic book, because even Marvel has to admit their comic books and their movies are... have nothing to do with one another.
So I get it with these unproven commodities. Like with Ant-Man, that's a big risk. You don't know how it's gonna do. I mean, yeah, you have Paul
Rudd. It needs to be out there,
But I think my problem is just because Avengers doesn't need it. You don't need to do it.
It doesn't need
it. You could show 1 30-second trailer the entire time.
They're
that's
trying
it.
To overmarket it because they think they got a huge thing. So that's why I said there's a lot of fanboys running all these operations because they want to throw it out there for everybody to see. And it's just like, just wait till it comes out. Then people will enjoy it much more. Yeah. You know, give us enough that, you know, teases it, like the word is used for, but don't give us so much that we go in and we basically already saw half of the movie, you know?
So speaking of unnecessary trailers.
Cool.
A second trailer for Ant-Man came out, which I guess is the full trailer since the movie comes out in July.
I like that trailer, though. Like, the other trailer I thought was kind of... It was kind of generic.
Mm-hmm.
But this trailer I actually like.
I'm not on board where I really want to see this movie yet, though. And
I feel like for people that aren't familiar with Ant-Man, this trailer did a better job of explaining, like, what the deal is, who the character is, what the setup is, and what they can expect from the movie. Whereas the first trailer seemed like a very generic, like, 90s...
Action movie.
People that weren't... the first trailer, the teaser or whatever it was, did not give much. It was very vague.
No, there was one shot of the suit.
The character that they're using. Because, you know, if you're not a comic book person, or if you are a comic book person, at least you know who the guy is. It's not going to be Hank Pym, which I guess we knew, but it gave us a little bit of more explanation of what they're doing with the character itself, because they're changing it a little bit. But I think this showed us a little bit of each character, except for the female lead. We didn't see too much of the female lead.
We saw her, Janet Van Dyne.
But we didn't get much explanation. Whatever her name is.
No.
It's not Janet Pym. Van Dyne.
Pym. It's his daughter.
It's his daughter, but it's going as Van Dyne, but it's not Janet.
Is it Hope?
Yeah, Hope Van Dyne.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Hope Van Dyne.
Yeah, they showed her for a little bit. The Yellow Jacket costume looks kind of cool.
Yeah.
The only thing I didn't like about both of them was that they mock the name.
Yeah.
And it's like, why are you belittling your name, you know?
I think you have to with Ant-Man.
Yeah,
I think you have to give a reason as to why in 2015 someone's going to call themselves Ant-Man.
The only thing...
Wasn't any sillier than Spider-Man or Batman?
Like, Ant-Man seems like a parody of Spider-Man. It seems like the silly parody of Spider-Man.
Okay.
It's almost like, though, if they made a movie, an Aquaman movie, and they just kept making fun of it's Aquaman. You know, and I'd just be like, come on, just move on. I wasn't too fond of the whole Ant-Man thing either. They were just like, we get it. His name's Ant-Man. It's not like it... You know, if it was Squirrel Girl, then I'd be like, oh, Squirrel Girl. But, you know, it's like, Ant-Man. I mean, he's a founding... member of the team. He's just I don't think anybody read the comics. They were just like, Ant-Man, that's ridiculous.
Most people that don't read the comics though aren't gonna realize that. They're gonna think this is kind of like a joke character.
No,
well, and
I
to be fair, most
either.
Of the people that go to see the movie are not going to be comic book people. It's going to be civilians.
No,
and I don't think this is any different than what they do in Flash, where you have Cisco every episode like kind of jokey, come up with
a
name.
Making up
a
name. I don't know. They just sometimes I feel like they overdid it a little bit in the. And the whole thing.
I feel like you overdid it a little bit.
Yeah.
Have some brisket. Lighten up.
Settle down, Francis. And then the last thing I got was Mike Martz, who was the editor for the X-Men, quit.
And was the editor of the Bat books
before that.
Yeah. I heard he's going over to help start a new...
Aftershock.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I wish him well, but yeah, small startups are tough.
Yeah.
It's a tough market, a tough business to get into.
But if you get it on the ground floor and if they get a hit,
But they've got to have a big hit. You know, there's a lot of little... It's not going to be an Image right overnight.
Yeah.
But he's a big enough editor.
Is he, though? But big enough editor, but would you know a book he edited? That's what I'm
thinking.
What
I'm saying is he's going to have... Thank you.
Oh!
Oh, wow.
Special delivery.
Thank you, mystery woman.
Yeah. Random ice cream delivery.
Ice cream delivery. Well, I'm not going to make the mistake we made last time, so we're going to pause for a second and eat our ice cream. We'll be right back. Well, we hope that you also had an ice cream break there. Probably not, but it was very nice. Thank you, Debbie.
Their break was like
a second. It was 2 seconds. I know, but hey.
Should have faster.
I'm sure the people that listened the last time we tried to eat and talk through ice cream were like, God, I'm glad they...
What if they thought, like, man, this is like a really like great take on a podcast, how they're doing this now.
It's like a pretend podcast?
The ice cream segment?
Mm-hmm. Some artistic take.
Yeah, we're being very artistic.
It feels like a dinner table discussion.
Yeah, I see. Hang on. Can I have more coffee? Thank you. Okay.
If anybody has ice cream you want us to taste, please.
Yeah, please bring it by.
Oh, nice job, Dave. Yeah.
So we want free subs and free ice cream.
Sweet. Yeah, we can't overdo it.
Well, we got Pop.
And you're not allowed to have a sub while we're doing this.
If you bring us ice cream, we would give you a copy of Puppet Master.
Yeah. I could be persuaded.
Yeah.
Or Sabrina number one, which number two just came out today.
Yes.
So get on board now.
On shelves now. On sale now. Your fine local establishments. Pat, do you have any more news?
No, that was it.
Oh, well, that, that was interesting timing. Yes.
It was, yeah.
Okay, segment two.
Yes.
Well, we had a listener request that we talk about Daredevil.
Look, if 50% of your audience wants you to talk about something, you've got to talk
Okay,
about
we'll
something.
Talk about it.
Let me say this.
Yes.
There's nothing wrong, because not everyone gets to watch the whole thing one week. There's nothing wrong doing half the season today and the other half next
Would
week.
Would that be because you've only watched half of the season?
I don't like your judgy tone right now.
Yeah.
Judgy Daredevil. Sorry.
It's hard to watch a bone-breaking TV with a five-year-old running around.
Hey!
Dave's only
they got to learn about breaking bones sometime.
Oh,
so we can only watch talk about a third of it?
You screw him over, you don't get Christmas. Remember that.
Yeah. Or a quarter of it. Jeez, that was my good guess.
Yeah, but I think the meep comments have already ruined it for Colin.
I don't remember making any meep comments.
No, it's I do not recall.
I do not know that woman.
Yes. You went to law school. You should know the phrasing. I do not recall.
You want to take a break again?
No, I'm trying to come up with the exact wording you're supposed to do when you plead the fifth. Yeah, I do not.
I'm going to exercise my Fifth Amendment.
Yeah,
right?
So I do not incriminate myself. No.
Well,
so Daredevil, let's go.
He's a guy. He's blind.
Yeah, I thought you were going to lead off on this one. That's your guy.
Okay. Well, yes, I do. I do have a long, long storied history. Basically, the store would not exist. Were it not for Daredevil,
really,
and Adam could bite me. So, no, I will not. Too bad. No. I'm working on a blog post for it. You can read it there. So, I'm a big fan of it's one book that
Are
I do have.
Sassy today?
Yes. I'm
you bring
just,
ice cream. And
what is me sassy or him sassy?
You.
He was the one who got all snarky.
The sandwich is one
I brought you brisket.
I paid for it, but you didn't bring it to me.
But you
and ice cream. Cream.
And ice cream.
I like how he's just like, yeah, you got it, but I paid for it.
Well.
Your face, Josh. That's how you saw that. I translated.
See why we're editing you
without
money.
Yeah, we were talking in the break. Well, our break. You didn't have a break, but we had a break.
He tried editing
Adam out of the podcast, and I'm beginning to think I might have to put a little more effort into.
Can't do it. You're not going to be able to do it. See? You lose.
We're going to show up next week. We're going to
have Can't do it, Matt.
You should request people to come in here, cosplay as Adam, as a fill-in. A replacement.
Then I don't have to be here.
Oh, you don't have to be here.
Nobody asked you to
be here. There was a time when nobody came to the podcast, and I had to come just to keep it going.
Sure.
Good times. Yeah, good times. Yeah.
So anyway, Colin, back to your story.
I was coming. That was the point.
Oh.
Zip it.
See, he's going to be like that the rest of the podcast. He's going to step all over, so
up.
I can't edit
you
out.
You set it up like that.
All right, Peanut.
Hang on, I can change the microphone so it won't record him.
You can change it to the second level.
It'll be front. No, but long ago, I used to spend summers up in Canada at my grandmother's, and you know, got to know kids there and stuff. And one of them was also read comics, so I've been reading for as long as I can remember. That's, you know, I can't remember the first comic I read. I love when I see people say, "Oh, this is the first." How do you remember? You know, it was probably four.
Like golden age, right?
What were you saying the other day? Dodge Rock.
Dodge Rock. That was good. Yeah. Oh, you guys. Not Iced
tea. I'm more than telling this story. It's just not going to go well.
But basically,
he's reminiscing about his girlfriend from Canada because he really had one.
We were talking, and he said, "Here, you have to read this book," and it was Daredevil 181, and that kind of led from one thing to another to me getting. Remember buying the Miller Daredevils with my lunch money from one of my classmates in high school, and then just eventually.
Did you shake down third graders for their lunch?
I did not. No,
you didn't
ever
buy more comic books.
No, I did not do that. And then eventually, that's the one book that I actually have a full run of. Wow. So, all the way to number one. Yeah. What?
That volume.
And two. I got lucky because when volume one ended. And they started number two. I'm like, good, I'm out. You know, I'm complete. And then all of a sudden at issue 500, or 120, they decided to make 500 and started numbering. And I'm like, you bastards.
Nice.
You know, now I got you got the numbers back. And luckily a customer came in and sold me one through 120 of that run. So I just kind of bought it from him and put it in the trunk. I'm like, so. But so Daredevil has a long storied history for me. Daredevil number 8 was actually the first Silver Age book I bought. The first one I, intentionally went out to buy an old book, and it was Daredevil number 8, Stilt Man on the cover, volume 8. So I have a long history with Daredevil. I've read all that first run, probably read most of the second run. There's probably some I missed, but I read definitely from Bendis and up, and Wade, I can't say I've read. So when Daredevil became a TV show, I was... I don't want to say skeptical, but it was one of those, okay, let's see how
this is.
You're
the person I have to please.
Right. And, man, that's been really, really good. I haven't finished. I'm on episode 10. Josh is on 6. And Dave is on 3.
Well, 4 will be the next one.
4. The other two have finished it, so. But it's only been since Friday, so, some of us with children, can't watch 12 hours of TV in that time frame.
See, that's because you're helicopter parents. If you go free range, you got a lot more time to watch TV. You might get arrested for it, but
I don't think helicopter is the right term there.
Right. Just, there's a time
she
when
can do
you
what
can
she
do.
Wants.
Right.
I just don't want to wander in the room when
right.
someone's bones are breaking
yeah.
TV.
Yeah. Exactly. What's he doing with the car door? Yeah.
It just won't close.
Yeah.
It won't close.
There's something in the way. But I love all the little nods. The one thing I posted on Facebook, I said, the joy for me of this is that the people making this don't just know about the character. Like a lot of the Marvel movies, it's like, oh, we're doing Spider-Man. Yeah, we got a general idea.
Sure
we're going to go with it. Fantastic Four is a general idea, that kind of thing.
Well,
where
maybe
these
the
people,
first group of Fantastic Four movies, I don't know about this new one.
But these people know the character. They know the little things, like the fact that the one gangster is Turk.
Mm-hmm.
Just throwing the little name out, and it was one of those I remember watching going, gosh, I really hope that's Turk. And then they gave his name, and it was just one of those, yes. Because it's not all totally accurate. Like, I don't remember a lot of the characters. but, when it's Leland Owsley.
Yeah.
And it's just like, he doesn't even have to become the owl. Just that he's there. That's enough. Kingpin, I think, sounds like I'd expect the Kingpin to sound. I just love that they have Vanessa in. Just everything is there. It's so Miller, which I dearly love, because obviously that was my introduction to Daredevil was the Miller stuff. So that's something that, is always, an important part for me. So just all these little things that they're putting in there. Is it a perfectly accurate? Is that how they started the firm? I don't think that's Karen Page's story where she came to them. That's okay. I have no problem with that. And, licensing, taking creative license there. No problem. Not a big fan of the actor playing Foggy, but everything is just hitting the right notes. I think the guy playing Daredevil is doing a great job. I have nothing but glowing things to say. I can't wait to finish it. Of course, now we're into hockey playoff season, so I may be watching it on my iPad, like with headphones on, and kind of keeping one eye on the hockey game, because I'll probably, I'm looking
at... I mean, you only have a few left, so...
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I tried to watch a bit here, and I'll probably be able to watch more tomorrow. Today's busy.
The one
to watch
you're
customers.
Starting, though, the one with Foggy and Matt.
Yeah.
That was...
Really? I thought they were in all of them. Okay.
That, I think that was probably the second or third best episode.
Okay.
It's really good, and there's a lot of back and forth that I thought was really good.
Oh, and just one other thing. My joy is, I'm looking on my bookshelf, and I have... Man Without Fear. I have Born Again. I have, and I have the Miller omnibuses, but they're all still shrink wrapped, and it's one of those. No, I'm going to finish watching, and then I'll reread them, and then I'll probably watch it again. Mm-hmm. So go ahead, sorry. But yeah, if you want to buy them, they are available. I just got to reorder in.
Yeah. It was good timing.
Except for three, which really they're not going to get to at least till like season four, because that's post Elektra Daredevil.
Okay.
So that's what number three is. So.
I want to go. You'll be done?
Yeah. I don't think he
is. No, I don't either.
I'll add it about, don't worry.
Okay. No, this is how you take a TV show and put it in the Marvel Universe. Granted, they have a couple things going for them on Netflix.
Yeah.
They have a 13-hour run. It's an actual 13-hour run. It's not a, you know, you have 42 minutes... Because you have commercials thrown in the middle of it.
And not even like the time-wise, but they don't have to worry about the scenes having to play out right before the commercial breaks.
Right, yeah. And Colin and I talked about this yesterday. The scene with him and the Russian, there was
wouldn't
like a 20-minute scene. Yeah. You wouldn't have seen that on, you know, on Agents of
S.H.I.E.L.D.
That was
such a good
like
point. I never thought about that before. Because there's no... You could just flow naturally.
Yeah, because with the commercials, like...
Arbitrary stop points, yeah.
Yeah, like...
And I'm sure when they write, they have, you know, they have this much time break, this much time, you know, and they know what the breaks are, but so that they have to write that way. So it's just, you know, I'm sure it's good. It's basically a 13-hour movie.
Right.
As far as pacing, they can pace things slower, let things develop more, build up more. And also, they don't have they have no sensor... things to worry about. They can do whatever they want. They haven't gone over the top. There hasn't been, you know, vast nudity, vast language.
One side boob, and violence got graphic, but
not
over the top.
Right. Not Kill Bill.
And language, you know.
A lot of bones. Like, it's a lot of, like, auditory.
I'd agree with that. Except for the one guy.
Just never heard auditory violence.
Well, because that's what I've noticed. I've been watching. It's like, there's a lot of, like, bone snaps and cracks. And
The one guy that impales himself, that was a little graphic.
Yeah,
and then, you know, knowing about the car door and seeing the aftermath of that,
We didn't actually see anything until you saw the reaction of the body.
Right.
But not so much.
You didn't actually see head impacting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I thought they did well with that. It definitely makes me excited at this point.
No, that's fine.
Okay, it's fine.
For the other series that are coming,
Their bar has been raised a good bit.
That style of storytelling really lends itself to other Marvel characters like Punisher, Moon Knight, Blade, that I could see work very well in this, where, you know, Disney's not going to do an R-rated Blade movie or an R-rated Punisher movie. They could get away with a PG-16 version, and I think it would work just fine.
They only mentioned the incident very...
In the first episode.
Yeah, and that was it.
They said it a couple other times.
Well, and there was also...
Well, it's like, I don't have a shield or a hammer.
Yeah,
at some point he had a news clip, I know. Yeah, from when he was on the wall.
And that was something else, you know, Marvel wants diversity... That's how you do it. It's you don't change Johnny Storm, who is a major character, to a black kid. But a Ben Urich, that worked,
I still have a problem with the Johnny Storm thing.
My only concern with the Johnny Storm thing is that it's his sister. So you're going to have to explain. That's the only thing. Like, if Ben Grimm had been black, I think that might have been easier.
And that's a valid point. Like, I can understand that, but like just. Him being black. Like,
no, I don't have a problem with that.
No, but changing a character just to change a character doesn't... I don't like
it. Yeah, but if it's not core to who the character is, then I don't think it's a big deal.
True. But yeah, my only concern is it's just an extra level of explanation you're going to have to do with a limited amount of time. You know, that's all. Yeah. I have one problem with Ben Urich, is the fact that he was the guy who was the safe cracker in Die Hard, so every time I look at him, I think he's a bad guy.
That's who it was?
I looked that up.
Oh, man.
I don't think he was in the first. It said he was in the second Die Hard movie. In his IMDb.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought, could have sworn he was quick. The guy.
It looks, when you said it, I looked that guy, that's why I looked it up.
He had all kinds of cheesy 80s awesomeness in there. It would have been better if they got an Argyle, but, you know, you can't have everything.
Okay, you keep going. I gotta look this up now for it. Make Adam happy.
Oh, okay.
I'm all about making Adam happy.
And see, you haven't gotten to the end yet, but the reveal for the actual Daredevil costume, I thought that worked for what they're going for. It's not the leather Ben Affleck version. And you know, I know they've already released plenty of pictures of it, so you've already, and actually you see it better in the pictures than you do on the show, because he's not doing the parkour flips and doing the you know, at night, so it makes a little more sense.
It makes more sense too, because for a character, like, if you want to make a more realistic feel for the movie, that this could really happen, kind of feel almost really happen, him having armor instead of just the leather makes a lot more sense. Kind of like how they did Captain America. I mean, what was Captain America's costume really made out of in the comic books? It looked almost like it was a t-shirt or something. Yeah. It wasn't really. But then they gave him more of an armor to wear.
Well, like, oh, it looks more like something somebody in the military would wear.
It works. But
they knew. With Captain America, I think they knew that a lot of people thought his costume was going to look like a joke.
Yeah.
And not to give anything away to anybody, too, but the idea of how his costume was made was done really well, I thought, as well. So.
Yeah. And again, it was a nod back to the comic books.
Yeah.
You know, with how that happened. Yeah. So.
Oh, you're right. It was Die Hard 2. Fair enough.
Okay.
Okay, I was wrong. He said it was a Die Hard movie, yeah. Okay? I mean, it's been a while.
Well, Nick Fury was in a Die Hard movie.
That's right.
He was in Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Yeah.
Zeus.
You had Carl Winslow. You had dude from NYPD Blue. What's his name? Bald mustache guy.
Sipowicz.
Dennis Franz, yeah.
I haven't seen it for a long time.
Samuel Jackson. Yeah, we should do a Die Hard podcast.
That's like my favorite Christmas movie.
I'm not finding it here on this.
A little spin-off.
When did Die Hard 2 come?
I
probably like
1998
at Die Hard 2. Or Samuel Jackson podcast. He's in pretty much everything.
That's true. He is in everything.
He would cover all the bases.
He's been eaten by two things that usually people don't get eaten by. Yeah. A shark and a dinosaur.
Yeah.
Not all the time.
That's the thing. You know how they have like
Cop Rock? He was in Cop Rock.
Killed by the Emperor.
He was killed by the Empire.
Yeah, you don't get killed by Empire. Emperors too often.
So it's 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, you can do like 2 degrees of Samuel Jackson.
Was he killed by Kevin Bacon? Yeah,
right. He might have been killed by Kevin Bacon in a movie. If not, that's the only thing that hasn't happened.
Was he in that Invisible Man movie? Where
the
Hollow Man.
Oh, man.
I don't know if he was in that, but he's dead. I
forgot about that movie.
So did everyone else.
Was it killed by
that was on HBO this week for some reason. I was flipping through and I saw it. I'm like, what the? Oh, the Hollow Man. I remember that movie.
I don't even remember why he was like out to get people in that. It's been a long time.
I think he was just going insane because he had to.
Because of what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Had him in it, had Karate Kid's girlfriend in it.
Yeah.
There's a Karate Kid like reunion at the Steel City Con in this next one. I just saw
really?
That. Yeah, the blonde haired kid, the cocky blonde haired kid.
Johnny?
The boy Johnny. The
Billy Sbraka.
The leader of the Cobra.
John Series.
Yeah, and then the Karate Kid himself. They're bringing back Mr. Miyagi from his grave.
I was going to ask
Miyagi's
did he die?
He died a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow.
Wow, we've really gone off.
I don't even know where to go with this.
This podcast is dedicated to Pat Morita.
May he rest in peace.
You have a problem with that?
No, I do not have a problem with that. He was not at all.
So what about you, Josh, with Daredevil? Where are you on that you could talk about?
No, I'm right after...
Get to the part where Karen died, or when she turned... when she gave Matt's identity to the Kingpin? Oh.
Oh, no.
Yeah. She was just like...
You get to the part where Elektra shows up. Oh, man.
Yeah. Let's go. Let's get out of here. No, I'm without... spoiling for Dave, I'm at the... right past the point with him and the Russian and okay. the...
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. Thank you for enhancing my effects.
He's a Foley artist, didn't you know that?
Colin is now cracking himself up.
What Jiggy Jar Jar do?
Nothing to do with this?
Well, it's not even 9 o'clock.
Usually it does.
Yeah. I know.
That's usually when you crack up.
No, I've been liking it a lot. The first episode, I was a little on the fence with it. Just because, and I haven't heard anyone else say this, I mean, it was just me, but I felt like the fight scenes, while, like, very stylized, the way they filmed it, like, it looked very fake. Like, it looked very much like they weren't hitting each other, which, I mean, obviously they're not hitting each other, but the angle they filmed that, you're not supposed to be able to tell they're not hitting each other. And it didn't look like the hits were actually landing at all. And it really threw me off for that whole first episode. The second episode, it was fine at that point, so... Either it was just
when Matt was beating on Karen, you thought it was more realistic. Okay.
Why are you trying to inject domestic abuse in this podcast?
It's not really domestic. Yeah, it's violence. Not domestic. They don't live together. Just,
yeah.
One, she stayed with him for a night.
That does not make you domestic partners.
One thing that's cool about this.
You don't have to get married if that happens, Josh. Just so you know.
Yeah.
Well, tell me now.
Sorry.
One thing that's cool about this show, though, are the Easter eggs like that they have. I won't give any of them away, but people watch the show.
Give them all away.
I can, but you're going to ruin it for you.
There was a scene, I think in the last episode, not giving anything away, but he's looking into the closet at a Foot Locker. And I had to pause it. Just knowing what I know about Daredevil and the way they set up the backstory with his dad and everything, that just, that hit me hard. I geeked out, and it was one of those, like, emotional, like, I know exactly what he's going to do. I know what's in the locker. I know what he's going to do with what's in that Foot Locker.
Oh, I'm past the explosion thing. I'm past the stick thing.
No, this might have just been in the last episode.
Stick was, I think, episode 7.
Yeah.
But yeah.
No, that had to be episode 6. I know I'm not at 7. Maybe, I don't, I'm all thrown off.
Okay, don't worry about it.
Stick,
just finish it tonight. Okay, just finish it tonight.
There's a there's a really cool.
Oh, that was brutal at the end of the stick thing with the.
Dave's not there.
When
yet.
Yeah, oh.
Can't talk about that.
Stick leaves him something when he leaves, and it's another one of those.
Yeah, that's a gut punch.
Oh, a gut total gut punch.
Yeah.
Really good.
One of the Easter eggs right at the end. I'm not gonna say, but it ties together. It seems like it's going to tie together the next
the other series.
Not the, not the other season, but the next
series is...
Jessica Jones?
No, it's actually going to tie together a different one.
Yeah, I don't know which one's next, but one of the next ones.
But I think the next one is Jessica Jones.
Yeah, Jessica Jones is next. They're already filming that. Because they've released pictures of Purple Man and Luke Cage.
Oh, have they?
And her, yeah. That was actually just done today or yesterday.
Luke Cage, you couldn't cast him as a white guy.
No.
I think you'd have a lot of issues if you cast it.
At his core,
Sweet Hanukkah.
He's a Jewish guy with the yarmulke.
Well,
if
it works that way, then we can't cast Ben Grimm. Ben Grimm's Jewish, so.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
And you can have black Jews.
Yeah. And is that really the core part of his character?
No.
Well,
I mean, Daredevil. Yes, Daredevil has to be Catholic. Yes.
He has to be blind.
If he was deaf, it would change everything.
Fair enough. Yeah. That's another thing.
I can't hear. I can't hear.
So we want to do Daredevil, but we want him to have his vision.
That's called Joe Casey's flying blind storyline.
Have you seen them doing the heroin yet? Not them doing heroin, but them packaging the heroin.
Yes.
Yeah, it was early the first first episode.
So the logo
logo
that was on that.
Yes,
that
very familiar.
And that was the thing. I couldn't place where I knew it from, but I knew it from somewhere.
Yeah. Where's it from?
Iron Fist. It's the Steel Serpent's tattoo.
Okay.
So
I'm not that familiar with Iron Fist.
No, but that's it. Like Adam said, it's tying into other shows. Yeah. And then
didn't the first episode, didn't they have like a recap at the end where she was walking through the area where they made the drugs and they were stamping?
Yeah, I couldn't remember if they did it then or if it was just in the other episode where stuff happened.
It was a little more when he went after the junkie.
Yeah, that was more about what happened.
Yeah, I think that's where when he went after the junkie was where you first really see the stamp bags. But yeah, every part of that was good. And it, like, even the hand costume, or Nobu's costume, it looked
which
like a hand.
Which
and
even he ties into, because supposedly, like, the part of his name is, like, tied into the founder of the hand. So it's, like, that second part of his name is, that Nobu part is part of his.
I need to read it all again.
Well, you gotta watch it first, and you can read it.
It's a horrible thing to have to reread all that.
Damn it, Colin. You gotta watch your TV before you can read your books.
Fine.
All right. Maybe I'll buy them during your next trade sale.
Okay.
I don't know, I got them today. Except for three.
I love how he just kept getting stabbed with his Volume 3 thing.
It's not the best.
Already gone. Yeah, I need three now.
I guess I have to go on Amazon.
He said on the podcast. I didn't say on the podcast.
And that's a podcast.
Man.
You're not going to drop in it?
No.
He's going to edit me out too.
I'll edit that out.
So I think that's it for Daredevil?
Yeah, it's over.
That's all we can talk about now.
Well, it's been excellent. I mean, I think the casting is great. Marvel, they just hit their more times than not, they hit the casting out of the park. And I never heard of this Charlie Cox guy. I don't know if he's been anything before.
He was in Boardwalk Empire.
Oh, okay. I didn't see that.
He's an English actor. He in Boardwalk Empire, he played. Is Irishman an offensive word?
No.
Okay.
Back then, probably was.
Well, because if
watch your tone.
It would have been a Mick.
My mom's family is Irish.
Yeah, I'm 100% Irish, so I think I can say that word.
It's his word.
Patrick. Yeah, that's my word for us.
Well, there are other variants of that, like, not for Irish, but, like, ethnicity with man at the end that is offensive.
Right.
Yeah.
We shouldn't have started
on this one.
Let's think of all the ones we can come up with.
I could have just came out and said it, but I don't
know. Editing you out.
But anyways, he was an Irishman in Boardwalk Empire. And
No. There's nothing to do with that. Blackhawks gave up a goal.
And I swear, maybe just because I, you know, put together that he was in Boardwalk and he, you know, was Irish and that, and he's an English actor, but I swear every now and then, like, his accent comes out a touch in Daredevil.
I haven't noticed it. Sometimes it may have, but
it's hard for
that. It's fine. He's great, though.
I think he did all right. Yeah, sometimes I think it will probably come out just a little bit.
But it's nice to have a definitive Daredevil now, and I think he could go up being an Avengers movie or something and hold his own, you know, against against Robert Downey Jr. or Chris Evans or any of them.
And I'd like to see that kind of crossover where they take him, like in Civil War, because Daredevil did show up in Civil War and you know, have him, even if it's not a big part, you know, have him show up, have them be at the diner and have it be Luke Cage and him and Cap and I forget who the fourth one was, just sitting there talking in their civilian disguises.
That'd be great.
That's what's a little exciting about the Marvel stuff is they've already said that this is all established together. They you know, put those ties in there. So that's, I'd be curious to see if they actually do like throw an Easter egg in a movie at some point and have, you know, Daredevil in there or something.
Mm-hmm.
Does Marvel Studios own the Daily Bugle name?
They might now.
Yeah, I think I read on it that they said that they that's one thing that they filmed afterwards. Because yeah, they filmed it after the fact.
Okay.
So and they probably won't do anything because it's irrelevant. Really, yeah. I mean, it feels like it to us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like it should be, yeah. But yeah, it works without.
Do you think we'll ever see some sort of like even thin connection between this show or the Netflix shows and S.H.I.E.L.D.?
I hope not. Not a huge connection.
They've established it is the same universe.
Yeah, it is.
Very real.
It is, but...
But, like...
I think that S.H.I.E.L.D. would sully the good name of...
But if his dad fought...
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. It was... Okay. They actually made reference to that and said he was very young and inexperienced when he fought Jack Murdoch. Yeah, so it was... It was... Okay. The Absorbing Man, probably, his first bout or his second bout. But that didn't make sense because he was very
so excited to fight him. It was like he was the champ, kind of.
Yeah. Maybe it was just to fight an up-and-coming guy and,
they just want to throw a guy out there.
They're not just boxcar hobos and he's fighting.
Real. That was the guy with the shield.
You got to work your way up the hobo circuit before you get started fighting it. Kids.
Like, hobo is a hilarious word.
That makes
me laugh all the time. Yeah, my apologies to any hobos.
Dude, if hobos are listening to podcasts, they shouldn't be hobos.
Somebody's going to be listening to this.
Boxcar Charlie just can't
be
wait
a podcast show. Hobo with an iPod.
That's the title of the podcast.
Eating beans. Eating beans and listening to the podcast.
This is episode 6 of Wi-Fi Hobos.
One just mumbling himself.
We are very offensive.
It's all Colin.
Totally offended the hobo demographic. You guys just don't care.
This is the guy who just came back. You're finally back.
No, but I could see S.H.I.E.L.D. trying to reference this somehow, or maybe not yet because
it hasn't
bleeded into like S.H.I.E.L.D. territory.
And that's what I was going to say is these are street level heroes that this show's about. No one has a superpower, they would have gotten on their radar. So I
feel like the people that make S.H.I.E.L.D. will not be able to help themselves.
Yeah.
I feel like they're not going to be able to.
Don't mention like being that it became popular just like they were with the Avengers. But there's this guy in Hell's Kitchen who's blind. He can do this stuff.
I don't think they'll be able to until next year because I don't think they had any idea how this was going
to
go off.
Everything should be filmed.
By that point, Jessica Jones will be on the horizon. Yeah. That's where I can see a crossover maybe. Have Sky show up.
Truthfully, I think they should limit themselves as much as possible with doing that. I think because, I don't think it would even make any difference. It wouldn't really. What would it really do to bring Daredevil on the Shield, or to have it mentioned? Just the mention.
I don't think it would do anything, but I think that they would think.
Oh, I'm sure they will. So you're more asking, do you think they'll do it? Probably.
Yeah. Well, the other thing
is what they do.
I'm not saying it's a good idea.
No. Okay.
The tone of the shows are very different. I mean, Daredevil is a dirty, grimy show, whereas even when they're trying to be dramatic, S.H.I.E.L.D. isn't. S.H.I.E.L.D. is corny.
Yeah.
And not.
I don't think that S.H.I.E.L.D. knows it's corny.
Well, I think in some ways they do.
But I don't know. I feel like they think that those long monologues that they have Coulson say sometimes at the beginning of an episode are actually impactful and not cheesy as hell.
He is
cheesy.
But even like where Iron Man with it. There were parts of it that were comedy, but it wasn't dumb. Whereas in S.H.I.E.L.D., it's like, okay, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
I think Avengers and all that, they fit into where, movie blockbuster, but, this is more of a kind of a more drama, serious.
Serious
drama.
I get that this show is in a special situation because it's on Netflix. They can do things that these other shows can't do. So you can't look at, Arrow and say, yeah, Arrow is dark and gritty, but it's not like that. That's how it should be.
There's a lot of that.
But what Daredevil was shown is
you can have great writing on a TV show, on a comic book TV show. Yeah. So what's the excuse for these other shows that have cheesy-ass writing?
Yeah.
You don't have to be as gritty and as violent, but you can produce
by
a quality...
By other shows, we mean Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I mean Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I mean Gotham at some points. I mean Arrow in some instances.
Arrow is on the CW. So that automatically panders to a certain demographic.
But so is Flash, and Flash is not nearly as cheesy as Arrow is at sometimes.
No,
like with the characters.
Right, you're right. Dialogue. But the Flash watches like you're watching a comic book.
I know, but what I'm saying is that
Arrow doesn't.
Arrow could be like that.
It could, but it isn't. It's really a male centered soap opera, if you will.
Yeah.
It's a CW show. And
I get Arrow.
It plays as a CW
show. Arrow was first, and they're not going to change their form because they have a huge audience. They don't mess with that. But, like, with S.H.I.E.L.D., when I'm watching, I think it was 2 episodes back, and there's this long, like, dialogue from Coulson in the beginning, and talking about families and him and Scott. Like, I'm just like, are you serious? Are you really making me listen to this for 2 minutes?
You met this hacker chick that lived in her van, like, 6 months ago. You're not friends. You went on a couple missions together.
You don't have the rating can be better, and I think that that's these Netflix shows are really proving
that
you can have solid.
I think that's the truth with especially Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because I think it's not even up to par with
even Carter. Carter's show you can have
better. Yeah, Carter's was much better.
But it feels like I don't know. I feel like they're trying too hard to make.
And Carter the same like. Totally the same feel as S.H.I.E.L.D. Like that same like
a little bit off track was. Did you see that they signed for Preacher? The lead is going to be Mr. Stark.
No, I didn't. I'm not sure how I feel about that.
Yeah, sorry.
Just because he's so prominently tied to Howard Stark's character.
Yeah, Howard. Thank you. Without the mustache, it'll look completely different.
Well, that's okay because older Howard Stark has a killer mustache.
That's true. He does. he has a killer mustache.
I don't know how that guy turns into that guy. Like an age.
Oh,
like
John Slattery. Yeah, but I can't think of his character.
Yeah, apparently
name.
Howard. He ages really horribly quick.
Yeah, he does. His face gets really long.
Yeah.
He's talking about Roger's character.
Yes. Okay. Sorry. Go back to. I totally derailed you. I'm sorry.
That's fine.
But yeah, no, you're right. No. Well, no, but Agent Carter definitely showed that, you know, when handled well, they can do it, but yeah.
The other difference is I think, like, Agent Carter tried to tell its own story, whereas Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is set up to kind of prep the audience for the next Marvel
movie.
That's
the thing.
Let you know when the next DVD comes out. Like, I'm surprised Rocket Raccoon didn't show
S.H.I.E.L.D.
up.
S.H.I.E.L.D. never feels like it's trying to just be its own show.
Yeah.
It's still searching for a point of view after 2.5 years, after 2 years. And you know, Daredevil has that point of view. Flash even has that point of view to be a fun show. But, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. it just won't beholden to the movies. And
I think it would be as aggravating if you watched S.H.I.E.L.D. and thought, maybe that's just, you know, what these actors are. But they have... like some good actors in there that you've seen other things, you know that they do not have to be like that.
Yeah.
Like Edward James Olmos in right now. I'm like,
I like Coulson better in the movies than I do in this because he's definitely changed his like how he because you as you said he's kind of almost corny like how he talks. I don't know. Yeah, I'm not a fan of that either.
So right. Nate was in
but we all
ER
know
for years.
None of us are a fan.
She was on The Single Guy.
I've never seen that.
You know what I'm talking about, Dave.
The Cyclone,
yeah. Ernest Borgnine.
Thanks for reminding me of that great show.
It was good. I like that show.
So what are we at?
Okay, what else? That we all we have for Daredevil?
I think so.
Well, the obvious thing to talk about next since 4 out of 5 of us have done the shebang is Convergence.
Okay.
Yep.
Pat, you have the most notes.
You've only seen my notes. Josh might have more notes than me.
Okay.
Sure. I have no notes.
Oh, okay.
But it's all
Josh has hated it all. So.
Yeah. I guess Convergence.
We'll start with, Convergence.
Start with Convergence itself. So
better than Zero.
Much better than Zero. It I actually felt like I knew what was going on after reading this. Whereas I really didn't get the point after the Zero issue. But, so, Talos saves the remaining Earth 2 heroes right before it's destroyed, and then realizes he messed up because they showed up, but their city did not. Which he found to be unacceptable. And he explains to them kind of the rules of convergence. You know, there's going to be a tournament, if you will, and the winner will get put back into the universe, and everyone else will perish.
Mortal Kombat!
Yeah, that's all was missing was, like, Thomas Wayne to be, come over here! But, you know.
I like Flashpoint Thomas Wayne.
So do I.
Yeah, I do too.
The badass.
Yeah, so that, you know, that's the basic premise, and I thought I did a good job of setting it up. And then, you know, the rest of the books kind of follow that. And it, if I remember correctly, in every one of the other books, his speech from Convergence is at different points, and some it's at the very beginning, and some it's at the very end.
Yeah, not, that kind of aggravated me about halfway through. Like, when I first sat down here last Wednesday and read, you know, Question, the Nightwing and Oracle, I was really into them, really into it, and then I read a few more, like, the next day, and I'm starting to, like, realize, like, oh, this all has the same formula. It's, you're going to get, like, some of what's going on right now, then there's going to be Brainiac's, or Talos' speech, and then there's going to be, in half the books, members of the Extremists coming in.
Yeah,
to,
showing up. Yeah. Or members of Flashpoint World. That was the other side. And then somebody else showed. Oh, the Hawkman.
The Hawkman.
Yeah. Nightwing. Well, I think there's the Extremists were like four of the books.
A lot of them, yeah.
Yeah.
They were also a little inconsistent on how he showed up. And I thought that was a little odd that they couldn't really get together on that and say, he's going to show up on a big screen on the dome, and that wouldn't have ruined anything. For anybody.
Yeah. So, and
I don't really get that.
I get you're not going to have everyone buying all the books, so you need to, like, each book has to stand on its own, has to show what's going on. But I almost wish then the books just started off with that, and then from that point on told their own story. Because right now it just feels like everything is...
Because I think we'll like the second one, the second book better, but... You
know, yeah, but right now I'm sitting here thinking, like, wow, I have 30 more books that are going to be following the exact same format.
But if you take the book like Superman, I thought it was good to show, even though he lost his powers, he was still trying to be Superman, but now he's more like the Batman version.
It did, but it was still one of those things where, even though that part was enjoyable, I knew exactly what was coming up. I knew, like, what...
Right.
How the story's going to play out.
But had they started that with Talos saying, you know, there's going to be the tournament and all that... then you wouldn't have gotten to see, unless they did a flashback.
I think it would have actually been more effective is if they did a flashback to show how things were before, because at least once you get through that first page of the speech or whatever, you don't know what to expect from that point on.
Yeah.
Like, at that point, anything
did. Like, didn't one of them have, like, it showed you, I think
Speed Force
gave you an idea. That's the one I thought it was, of what happened. Like, he was heading to Gotham for some reason, and then he got...
Yeah. Listen, they weren't bad. It just felt like they were all handed, like, a template.
Yeah.
Here's how you have this section where you can put in what's been going on. This section has to be the speech thing, and this section has to be the fight. And it's like, all right.
Because they all incorporated. Not one of them went off the track. Every single one. It happened all at the same time. Like, in the timing of reading
it. Was almost identical. It was almost...
some of them were good stories, though. Like, I Superman, I think, was my favorite.
Superman was good. I loved the street level, like, vigilante type.
Yeah.
That he was trying to be Batman almost.
The only thing I didn't like is that suddenly, whenever, his powers came back, like, for a year, you've been wearing the suit underneath your black street level.
Yeah, he's been wearing that.
And the one thing
he was just lucky, too, because didn't he, like, catch on fire or something?
Just in time.
So I want to get your opinions on this. With Superman, with this issue, I heard some people, like, clamoring with joy about the return of the red underwear. Why does everyone have such an obsession with the red underwear? Like, I understand it's iconic. Because people were really up in arms about it. People were up in arms about it not being there with the current version. Like, I get that it's iconic, but it's very dated. Like, it doesn't make sense for a modern incarnation of Superman to have this red underwear. Just like for Batman, it doesn't make sense to have
the blue
underwear. So why do people want this so much?
Just go commando.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, do you guys know why people want this so badly?
The people just don't like change.
Yeah, I think that's what it is more than anything
else. Like, I've heard so many times with New 52 how Superman can't have the red underwear. Superman can't have the red trunks. Like,
Who cares?
It's
just underwear.
Well, it's better than the finger glove.
I don't get that.
I'll give you that. I don't love that, but like I like the Jim Lee designed Superman look with the just red trim, the red belt or whatever. Like, it's a modern take on Superman.
Yeah, I don't know. But the problem was with that.
But several different sites and podcasts.
And then some people absolutely hate that.
Yeah. There were a lot of people online that were just like, oh, finally, the pre-Flashpoint Superman's back. And it was just like, what's he different about the Superman they got now? It's like,
Superman's personality is relatively consistent.
Yeah.
Especially with how Geoff Johns has been writing him recently.
You remember they were mad at them before Flashpoint was Superman because he denounced being like American or something like that, which makes sense in a way because then he can focus on a lot more things. Like he can actually go and do stuff without being an American.
It's just popular to rail on Superman.
That's the thing. Like, they just want to go after it. But it was good. Like the whole thing of him flying off, he's going to go check it out. He doesn't want to fight anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember. Did he sense something like that? He had him go that way, or was he just checking out what they were talking about? Or
I think he was just flying, and then
he just decided to fly, and then he crossed paths with Superman from
Flashpoint.
Mm-hmm. And then he just keeps flying, saying she's still alive or something,
right? Because he's looking for Lois.
And then when he gets there, that's what he goes and finds Lois.
He's a creepy little guy.
Yeah, a little bit. He's a little different than what he was. But if you remember in Flashpoint, he was a little nuts anyways. Like,
well, he was just kept locked up.
And when he comes in, and you remember he kills, I forget what character it is, but he just lands on her and she just explodes. Like a little nuts of a character.
But I love the Thomas Wayne going, wait.
Wait, that means Bruce is alive.
So a lot of people were questioning, like, a lot of characters were questioning, like, certain people might be alive and this and that.
Mm-hmm.
There was somebody else. Who else?
In Flash or Convergence 2 was really good. I mean, it's not a giveaway. You have two Batmen on the cover. But that was very, very neat, their meeting.
Yeah.
At least the setup to their meeting, you didn't really get a whole lot of their meeting.
The cover I got has two Supermen.
Oh, okay, sorry. You got the wrong cover.
Which is the one he put in your folder that you had in your
choice. No, he swatched it up.
Oh, okay.
Don't be blaming me.
But, that was good, yeah. Superman one was good.
That was my favorite because of the Flashpoint characters. I just really liked it. When I saw him again, I was like, oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what made me, I really liked the Justice League, too.
Justice League one was really good.
Because of the Aquaman thing. That was another one where finding a lost love type of theme. Which is neat, it makes sense for the character.
Except what's funny in the Justice League one was he's just like, I know you're not her. Superman from Flashpoint was like,
it's Lois.
It's Lois. Yeah. But he was just crazy. Like, no, it's not, but you're going to do it. You know, that's who you're going to be.
He's crazy, though.
Yeah, they're all crazy from that planet, from that Earth.
And in Speed Force, it was Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
And I like, because I really like that, the run with Lolly where he had his kids.
Yeah.
And, kind of going back to that, and they wanted to get back to their mom, and
it's kind of funny how they're tethered.
Yeah.
They're just spinning around, like, they're just like, why are we coming here? We don't want these powers.
Yeah, they're just always floating behind him, kind of. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's how your kids should be. They say, floating behind you.
Yeah.
No.
Speed Force.
Colin Force.
Colin Force.
Powered by brisket.
That's what it is. Just two brisket sandwiches floating behind him.
Brisket and Diet Coke.
That could be a title for the podcast. Powered by brisket. That's the motto for the podcast.
The Nightwing and Oracle one.
I liked it.
So did I.
I did too. But what seemed strange was it was almost like the Hawk people.
Where did they come from?
Well, yeah, what world were they from? They had already wiped out their round one opponent. They were on to round two before anyone else even knew what was going on.
But what world was they, were they from, I guess? Because they weren't in that little grouping on the inside cover.
Yeah. Because they took out, what, the Inferno?
Yeah.
Well, and why were they already on the warpath killing people before the speech was even made?
Yeah, I don't know.
There's only three verses. Is it three versus the pre-Flashpoint Earth? Because it's El Inferno, the Extremist, the Cartoon World.
Mm-hmm. Flashpoint?
Oh, that was the other thing about Speed Force. Yeah. Turbine shows up.
Yeah. But he wasn't the bad guy.
No. That was what he saw Flash and said, if you're a speedster, then that means there's other heroes too.
Yeah, he sends them through.
Oh, and Future Zen pops up in Convergence 2 as well.
Mm. I mean, Future Zen is... Or not Future Zen, but World's End. I like how that's like clearly led right into this whole thing.
Right now. So they did tie him in. Let's see, what else we got? Adam.
Yeah.
That was a weird one. Yeah. That was just weird the whole time. That was a bad one to start on for me.
I did that one last.
Okay. I did too.
I did that one first. I was doing it alphabetically.
I did it last because I heard other people say that it was kind of shitty.
Yeah,
so.
It was.
Yeah. I think I did it last because that was on top of the pile when I had it, and when Colin rung it up, it ended up on the bottom of the pile. So this was the last one I read.
Oh, makes sense.
But I didn't understand how. Who was it?
Ryan Chork.
Yeah, Chork ended up inside Ray Palmer's head.
Yeah, that
why could his hand get big?
What? I didn't get that either.
Well, yeah, that didn't make sense either. It's there was an in joke on The Simpsons one time. A guy had one giant hand. And he was writing like this long speech on his hand. Yeah. And that's all I thought of.
It's
Ray Palmer.
How was he able to do that?
Yeah, I was thinking that as well. Yeah.
How was he able to do anything with his hand? Because he had the dome.
Well, and that's even what they said is how come he still has that power?
Yeah. How does he still even have powers to begin with? Like everybody.
I was waiting for the.
Maybe it just has really bad circulation and it just swelled up that bad. Yeah.
I was waiting for it to be some sort of like hallucination because how everyone else was treating him like he was crazy.
Yeah.
I was thinking that what we're seeing wasn't really happening, but.
Because it did seem very. Things seemed very weird with that book. And it kind of felt like it could be a hallucination. Plus, he should have still been dead. It didn't make any sense why he was even alive to begin with, even in his head. It just.
Because even in the little back matter, giving the history, shows him being killed.
Right.
Titans?
What do we got? I like Titans. Because that gave an interesting... One, it got back to the arsenal without the arm, that they just, you know, totally dropped. But it also gave him a quandary. You know, I like that it had all the extremists. Where a lot of the other ones were just one-on-one battles, that one was more of a grouping.
Yeah.
Except you mentioned the arm...
Mm-hmm.
He mentioned how his arm didn't work when the dome was down, but the panels had him using his arm while the dome was down.
Yeah.
But the ending, that twist ending, kind of, or not twist, but just
the cliffhanger.
It leads you to want to read the next one.
Did he use the prosthetic? He had another prosthetic.
He had one prosthetic.
Oh, yeah, maybe that's what
it was. Yeah, separate out, and then he changed the power armor.
Why would one, like... Cyborg
Well, maybe one was just like regular strength, and it was versus extra
regular strength prosthetic.
Yeah, versus the giant biceps.
Versus extra really,
yeah.
Josh is like, your guess is good.
Yeah, I
so we're talking about cleaning products, drain cleaner.
I don't know.
I like that one. And that one had a definite when the dome came down effect, like with the two girls.
Yeah.
Donna and Cora.
Yeah, Corey.
Corey.
Batman and Robin, I don't really remember.
That was
it was Damian being all like bent out of shape because
Red Hood showed up. Okay.
Yeah. That one I had a little problem with the art. Like, the art was not very good in that. There was points where Scarlet's supposed to have a mask, like a skin face on her.
The art was not solid in a lot of these.
At some point, she didn't look like she had a mask at all. And sometimes she didn't have eyes, like, they just showed white. So, I didn't understand that. I'm not really that fan of that incarnation of Red Hood that Grant Morrison tried to show us. And the outfit, I'm not a huge fan of either, but... Not my favorite. I don't think Batman and Robin was one of my favorites.
Batgirl.
I didn't mind the story, but I hated the art.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
I didn't understand, like, Catman showed up to try to fight Stephanie, but really the whole time he was wanting to kill Grodd.
Yeah, he's the Flashpoint Catman. His whole mission in Flashpoint was that one shot of Grodd.
I vaguely remember.
King Grodd or something like that.
Yeah, it was Grodd of War.
Grodd of War, that's it. Yeah. And Catman was that. That doesn't make any sense either because Catman was killed. And that thing, Grodd like takes Catman and just rips his head off with his spine attached.
Okay.
Still.
That's probably why I don't remember Catman a whole lot.
That's why, because he was like leading people from that area to fight Grodd.
Because the last stuff I remember reading with Catman in it was Birds of Prey, and Simone's run of Birds of Prey.
Yeah, and if you think about it, that matches up with why he's versus her, because he's from the Flashpoint, yeah. But they don't really give you that idea, because his costume's still the same.
Right.
So it was a little confusing. You had to think about that one. Did we talk about Harley?
No, I liked that one.
And not only did I liked it because
I didn't like it at first.
Kind of made me miss Harley Quinn and how she used to be written. I just liked her character in this. I liked how she teamed up with Catwoman, Poison Ivy.
Mm-hmm.
And now, like, there are little things that I kept questioning. Like, the dome goes down, and she's holding the hammer. It goes up, and she falls backwards because she can't hold the hammer anymore. And I was like, what was her power? Like, holding hammers? Heavy hammers?
Well, no, she'd gotten boosted strength.
Did she? Okay, somebody need to explain that.
I think that was explained in the back, where they were talking about her. You know how they had it in the back?
I read something about how she got strength.
Because while reading, I'm looking like, Harley doesn't have a power.
I mean, I guess her mental stability, I guess, is considered, like, that's a power, too, because then she was fairly sane, but she also, they didn't really say she was, she worked through it,
her issues
with goldfish, and then so she kept memorizing, seeing them, like, floating around her fingers.
I mean, but she also had a couple things where she saw the Joker.
Yeah, but otherwise he didn't talk to her, is what she was saying, and then when the dome comes up, then...
Yeah, I think they're just playing off as having some sort of psychosis.
And that last page was really cool, where... It's kind of like the kaleidoscope, and it's all over, and all the goldfish are going around her, and they have the Joker smile.
Yeah,
it was a good issue. I really did like that one. I don't know what other ones are.
Question.
Question was good.
Yeah.
I liked a lot.
In the back, you had to read the back matter to remember.
Yeah.
But it definitely helped when you got to the end and realized all these different connections with
that. That back part is really helpful, because I know a lot of people were complaining with New 52. I remember from the podcast that they'd say, I wish there was, like, they put a summary page like Marvel at the beginning of the book so we remember what happened in the last things or something. I was like, yeah, I guess that's a little thing. But for something like this, like, it happened few years ago.
Yeah.
Like, I have no idea what happened in some of this stuff. I can't remember that.
Well, and if for people who didn't read those books,
right.
I really came back into comic books with New 52.
Same here.
So I didn't read that stuff, and, you know, I could follow it, because I've gone back and read back issues.
Reading the question, I had no idea, like, the backstory to this, version of the character.
Helped to go to the back two pages first, and then...
Uh-huh. I'm still going to read all these books and enjoy them without that back, and then read at the end.
Yeah. You know what bothered me about that? And this is a really minor thing. How the hell did Two-Face get a beard on both sides? It shouldn't have been.
So what's that?
He shouldn't have grew it. He had this gray fuzz.
Yeah, but it
not a full fuzz.
His skin was burned away. There shouldn't have been
any fuzz. Yeah, they were having fun with
it. Yeah.
Minor thing.
No, it's valid.
Complain.
I like Two-Face a lot.
Two-Face coming and flipping a coin on you.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, but remember every time he flipped it, it came up heads. And why
that was his power.
That should have changed the odds of probability.
For him, it must for some reason. I don't understand that either. But for him, I guess probability was like a thing.
That's it, Josh. That's it.
Yeah, that was it.
Okay. Pat, you got one I want to talk about, so go for it.
Old Wounds?
Yes, sir.
So
this is from my friends at Pop the Icon, who did San Hannibal, a book that I will be beating you over the head with when the trade comes out.
So it was an interesting book. It was the ex-wife of this vigilante was killed.
Well, not so much vigilante, former superhero.
Well, okay, superhero, but we'll go with vigilante. We don't know what some of his powers were. So, at this point, it's more vigilante. So, his ex-wife is killed, and, you know, first he's meeting with his former sidekick who had been
afterwards,
in an explosion.
They both had, yeah.
But, like, half his face was burned and missing an arm.
And the vigilante is also injured.
Right. But you know,
he uses a cane.
Right. You don't know the full extent. So he could be having, like, a prosthetic leg or whatever. We don't know. So they're having lunch or whatever at a diner, and they go to leave, and the sidekick, and I can't remember what his name was, his car gets blown up. So it seems pretty clear they're trying to kill the people around this former hero. The story was interesting. I didn't really care for the art too much.
No, I thought the art was a little unfinished.
Yes.
There was definitely one panel where I know it definitely was totally unfinished. But I like the story.
Yes.
I like the idea of the story, basically. Somebody's like, oh, it's like Watchmen. I'm like, not really, I said that, not to that extent. But basically, yeah, he used to be part of a superhero team. His ex-wife was also a hero. After this accident, he couldn't keep going, and he fell into depression. And basically, like, they were divorced, but he still loved her.
Yeah.
But they were divorced because that was the best thing, because he was just miserable. And then he meets up with the guy, and, yeah, basically somebody's killing these old heroes.
Their costumes reminded me a lot of the Green Hornet and Kato.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very reminiscent of that. It's a four-issue miniseries.
It was neat. It was interesting.
It's just, like I said, the art was not the best, but it didn't take you out of the story either.
That's kind of, yeah, like how I feel, like, just to go back to Postal again, really neat idea for a story, but I felt the art, storytelling-wise, hasn't done it justice. Yeah.
The Walking Dead.
Okay. Carl realizing he may have made a mistake.
Yeah, perhaps.
Jiggy Jar Jar.
Yep. So Maggie interviews the families of the boys that Carl beat up, I think it was 3 issues ago or 2 issues ago, whatever it was. And pretty much the same message comes across, is that Gregory was the instigator in all this. They knew that he was going to try to kill Maggie. They didn't agree with it, but they weren't going to try to stop him either.
They're going to have to do a TV show.
Yep. So Maggie comes to the decision that she's going to have to kill Gregory. At first, she was kind of on the fence about it, and her and Jesus had a conversation about how, well, you know, Rick keeps Negan locked up, and, you know, Gregory's nowhere near that bad. But what they also realize is that Gregory has a lot of pull in the community, and leaving him to play the martyr is too dangerous. So then at the end of the book, we go back to Alexandria, and they're bathing Negan, and, you know, he's being a dick as usual. And they go to
Was this a Daredevil episode?
Yeah. Too much dick and Daredevil. Then
I'm not naming the episode then, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Nah, he can't.
Yeah, that... Anyway, so then, you know, they go to lock him up in a cell, and the cell isn't locked.
Oh, you gave away this twist. Oh.
It's a week later. We can do that.
Spoiler.
So, you know, Negan, in his usual eloquent, loquacious manner,
drops an F-bomb.
I think there was 3 in the sentence. But, you know, Negan has...
it was the entire sentence.
Yeah. Negan's not escaped. It's just been left open. So
he's left the building.
Yeah, so, you know, that I'm sure he'll have lots of fun. But that's the thing. Rick isn't there. And I'm sure, you know, as soon as Rick gets there, he's going to go back to the hilltop because Carl left. So who knows what will happen when Negan. Maybe he takes over. The next book, the final issue of Deadpool, where he dies.
I'm so sad. I can't believe he's dead.
And he does die. So it goes back to several issues ago. He took down a group called Ultimatum's Helicarrier and killed a bunch of guys. So they decided that they were going to get rid of him. So in typical Deadpool fashion, he kills thousands of these Ultimatum guys in all kinds of crazy ways. And then at the end, he's on a boat with, and if you haven't read Deadpool, this will make absolutely no sense, but robot Agent Preston, his daughter, the ghost of Ben Franklin.
Bringing it back to the first arc.
Yes. Wow. And the mage guy that he was with. Yeah, bring all these guys back.
Like, I haven't read since that first arc.
Yeah.
But all that stuff now makes
sense. Right. It all goes back to the first arc. And he finally, for the first time in his life, feels love. And he feels happiness. And everything is great. And then the incursion happens. And wipes out the entire planet. So, yes, Deadpool was killed. But so was everyone else. Because of the incursion. So, it was a cheap ending, but it wasn't a cheap book. It was a $10 book.
I like the still that Ryan Reynolds tweeted with him in Deadpool costume sitting in the toilet reading
Deadpool.
The issue,
yeah.
With the caption, like, smells like something died up in here.
And that was, you know, the first 20 pages or whatever it was. And the rest, there were several backup stories. Hit or miss. The one at the end was he got the Infinity Gauntlet. So his thing is he has, like, a giant roast of Deadpool. And it has a bunch of, you know, Marvel guys coming up and, you know, making jokes. And some of it was funny and some of it was really dumb. And then he decides, you know, he doesn't like it. So he goes back to Thanos and gives him the Infinity Gauntlet and jumps out of a helicopter and, you know, end book. I don't think it was worth $10, and I especially don't like it with the way they did it, because it was the incursion thing, which we all knew was happening. At the same time, I guess that makes the most sense for them to, you know, kill him that way.
Yeah.
Because that's the one way he can't come back. There's nothing for him to come back to. The next book was Rebels.
I read that.
So what'd you think?
I enjoyed it, yeah. I like Brian Wood's historical fiction writing. I was a big fan of the Northlanders book
that
he did from Vertigo. And it kind of has that, you know, obviously the subject matter is very different, but has that same feel to it.
So in this book, there's a character named Seth. And I don't want to say he wasn't abused, but like his father was kind of hateful.
Well, he was put on this, you know, he had a one track to be, you know, part of
the
revolution, yeah.
And
he couldn't really stray from that.
Yeah, so, you know, at one point, and I don't know how old he was, he couldn't have been older than, like, 13 or 14, he's supposed to give the command to have the rebels fire on the Brits, and he freezes.
Yeah.
Because 14-year-olds killing men usually works in Somalia, but in other places it's, you know, not, yeah, well, it's not what you're used to. And because of that, you know, as an adult, he doesn't speak very much. The story takes place in New Hampshire, and what happens is the governor of New York is trying to take some of the land, so he's sending sending redcoats from Albany up to seize deeds to properties. And like what they were doing, they were saying that they were setting these deeds up to where the mortgage would come due before, like right before the harvest, so they had no money to pay them, so they'd be forced to default and then they would take it. So they were protesting against that, and you know, so the redcoats show up and they open fire on what was a peaceful demonstration. And it didn't seem like that many got killed, but a few did. Mm-hmm. So it's clear they're going into a revolt, and as they're leaving this, I hate to even call it a massacre, but that's really what it was. I mean, not many people died, but it was a situation where the redcoats opened fire on a peaceful demonstration with farmers with really no provocation. Seth he leaves and then meets up with Ethan Allen, and that's where it ends. So it's historical fiction. I found it to be very interesting. I'm also a big history buff and military history especially. So that's kind of, it was like right up my alley, and that's why I wanted to read it. And it didn't disappoint. There's a lot of different places this can go with. I don't think they're going to give him superpowers or anything like that. I think they'll stick to more or less what happened in history. But they're using actual historical figures like Ethan Allen, and they reference certain events like the Continental Congress and the Boston Massacre and the Boston Tea Party and all that stuff.
So Seth and his wife, are they married now? Or?
He said they were married, but I didn't see anybody do it. It was like they were holding hands, okay, we're married.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't remember there being like an actual pastor there or anything doing a ceremony.
Those are the best kind of stories, or this personal relationship, with the backdrop of this great
major event
in American history. Those are always cool kind of stories, I think. So we'll see what happens with it.
And the last one that I read was Darth Vader.
I read that.
Yeah, good. I'm liking Darth Vader.
Yeah, me too.
So he goes back to Geonosis, which was where they were building the droid army in Attack of the Clones, and he's going there to get a droid army, and he brings what's her name? Asith?
Dr. Aphra.
Yeah, Aphra.
Aphra.
So he takes her with him, and so she is very aware of who he is and what he can do. Yeah. And after he gets his army, she basically says to him, look, I know what you're going to do to me. So, do me a favor and do it quick. Cut my head off. Don't torture me, anything like that. And Darth Vader's response is kind of...
He wants the lightsaber.
Yeah, as long as you remain useful to me, I'll keep you alive. But the second you become a burden or fail me...
That was pretty cool seeing Vader so evil again and her knowing that he's evil and she knows she's not going to...
She still has this interest in him, like a Twilight, the movie Twilight with the vampires, because it's just like even though he's evil, she still likes that.
She knows she's gonna be dead as soon as she's of no more use to him, and she kind of accepts that.
But it really goes back to like Empire Vader, one little mess up and I'm gonna choke you through a TV screen.
That's cool to see again.
Yeah, that's the right way to do it. But the other thing he finds out is that, the Emperor has his minions that are after him. And he finds out where they are. Done? So he's headed there now.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I love those evil droids.
The evil droids, yeah, the evil C-3PO.
Triple Zero.
BT, I think his name is.
Yeah, BT.
Yeah,
BT. Triple Zero tortures, and the other one's just like a military machine. A blasto droid, is what they call it.
Yeah.
It'll be my pleasure to torture you today, I'll be torturing you
today. He's just so confident. It's funny because, you see C-3PO saying it.
I hear you.
That's what you hear in Anthony Daniels in your voice, and he's just like talking about torture, and he's just like, oh, well, he's dead, so it's all good. All fine.
Yeah, dispose of him. Yeah. Oh, well, good news. He's already dead.
Yeah.
Or no, we say, I have good news and bad news. The good news is we know where the Emperor's minions are. Yeah. We'll go ahead and kill him. Oh, well, then I have good news and good news. He's already dead.
Yeah.
That would be perfect with Anthony Daniels' voice, too.
I can't help myself.
They should have him.
They all have red eyes. Like, he has these red eyes, black.
Yeah. It's a cool idea.
Yeah. It's different.
That's all I got.
Colin has some breaking news.
Breaking news. DC has signed Patty Jenkins on as the Wonder Woman director.
What did she do?
The name sounds familiar.
She did Monster.
That's who they tried to get.
And that was she was doing. Before.
Here's the thing.
She did.
Here's
that's
the thing.
Right.
Yes.
That's where the name.
It says just 2 days ago we were discussing how similar Michelle McLaren's exit from the Wonder Woman feature film was to Patty Jenkins departing ways with Marvel over Thor: Dark World. So now they've signed her on to do Wonder Woman. So
with no talkie Tawny, I hope.
So
that's right. You gotta say that, and Rock can do the voice of Talkie Tawny. Vin Diesel.
Diesel's on.
They got the woman.
He's done the
who
from Bambi.
Left the Marvel project, and Marvel might be eyeing the woman who left the DC project.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
because they're looking at her for Ms. Marvel.
Captain Marvel.
Captain Marvel. Yeah. Sorry.
Whoa.
So I'm sorry.
Yeah.
The only I'll jump in. I only have one other one. Savior was a new one last week. It was a new Todd McFarlane one at Image, drawn by. He did a ton of Image stuff. He did a lot of the Rye, I think.
That's Valiant.
I know. Oh man, he did a lot of Valiant stuff. Clayton Crane.
Oh okay.
Did the art on it. Interesting book. It's something has happened, and this guy is like making this appearance at a courthouse. And he's done something important, but they keep alluding to it without really showing it to you. You have a newscaster as he's arriving, and then all of a sudden she's trying to get him to say something, and she says something. He turns around like, what? Like she said something totally ridiculous, and then there's a gunshot, and they're showing the reporter, and she's splattered blood with a look on her face like, oh my God. Then it goes to what happened before, and it was some sort of plane crash. And they don't really show anything. They then show at the end of the plane crash somebody walking out of the woods holding somebody, and it ends. And I'm like, this is one of those books that needed one or two more pages to hook you. Like, you don't know that he's the savior.
Not enough to hook.
Yeah, there's no showing that he's actually a savior, what he did, if that was him, what was going on. It was a lot of setup without giving you anything. Not bad, but just there wasn't.
Enough.
It needed one or two more pages.
I like his art a lot.
Yeah, his art, I've loved him since he was on X-Force.
He does like the painted.
Yeah, yeah. So, no, I loved his X-Force stuff, and I know he did some Ghost Rider stuff. It's all sadly always out of print.
Yeah.
He
is on Rye now, and this issue that came out last week is the last issue until August.
Okay. And he did it. There was another issue he did. I don't remember specifically which. It might have been a Unity issue. I just remember there was a bunch of people in
covers.
It was an inside. I just remember there were a bunch of people like in battle, like armor, not like exo armor, but like stormtrooper armor, I guess is the best way to put it. I just remember his art on that. I don't remember which value issue it was.
I think the break on Rye is because of that book.
Savior. Okay. Could be.
Cause his art,
but it's not. Valiant doesn't have to be monthly. They can take breaks. You know,
and
they have enough stuff coming out.
I don't mind a long break to August when they tell you up front,
yeah,
we'll be back in August.
Yeah. Yeah.
What I don't
as
like
opposed to, where
like,
is this? Where's Sabrina, damn it? Yeah.
Yeah. It's on the shelves.
It is now. It is. That's why I posted a picture on Twitter yesterday with just in period, my period, hand, and a picture of it in my hand. Adam.
I'm good.
You didn't read anything?
No.
Josh, you got anything else?
Well, yeah, so Rye came out last week. Rye ends this, quote unquote ends. This big confrontation with Father. So it starts off, you have Rye trying to bring together these two, opposing factions, the Raddies and the Positrons. The Raddies are like these citizens of New Japan who are like anti-technology. They're kind of like the Luddites, and the Positrons are like the cybernetic beings that are created to be companions for humans. So they're at odds. So he's trying to unite them together to go against Father. And at the same time, Spylock is coming back from the Earth below, which is like this apocalyptic wasteland. He went down to try and recruit someone. You didn't know who it was until, I think it was 2 issues ago, you found out it was a previous version of Rye. So Rye has been recreated over and over throughout the years. So Spylock's coming back with this, older, like, much less powerful, looks like he's, very much aged and beaten down, is Rye number 8. So they get back and Rye, gathers the forces, and it leads to this huge confrontation with Father and his forces. for control of New Japan. And Rai finally, you know, gets to where Father's at, and for the confrontation, it's revealed that Father's created another Rai to, you know, go against him. It's like this giant, you know, mechanized version of Rai.
Mecha Rai.
So the battle.
Why do they mecha everything in Japan?
Why not?
It's the thing. It's Gundam Rai.
Gundam Rai.
So the fight starts. You know, the Rai that, you know, has been the focal point of the book is definitely like the more agile fighter, whereas the, you know, mechanized version is the brute force. But it doesn't end well for the book's title character. Like, he, even though, you know, gets the power from the older Rai 8 that came back, like, he sacrificed himself to try and help out the current Rai, he still ends up getting, not killed, but he is, you know, beaten and thrown from New Japan down to the wasteland of Earth, because New Japan's, like, essentially like a Death Star.
That's what I expected, dude. New Japan to be.
And it teases some other things, like we find out that Dr. Silk, who has been a villain throughout other Valiant books, turned on Ryan Spylock and, you know, told Father what the plan was. And you find out that there's a, you know, geomancer that is being hidden in New Japan right now. So all these little things that tie back to the rest of the Valiant universe, even though this is taking place thousands of years ahead of the current timeline. So it was good. I'm gonna be missed from now till August, but it's gonna be interesting to see how they go from here on out. If it's gonna pick up with, you know, Rai that we saw thrown down, or if it's gonna take a different turn or what. But it was good. All new Hawkeye.
Didn't read the second one yet.
Yeah, I did read that.
So that came out, and Jeff Lemire's other book, Descender, came out last week, and they both had like a very similar format.
Okay.
No, they did. They both had a very similar format. Where
I read Descender.
So with Descender, you had the story of Tim 21, and it's showing like what's going on presently, plus flashbacks to his activation and getting there. Mm-hmm. Well, Hawkeye was the same thing, where it was showing what was going on presently, but then flashbacks to he and Barney, you know, and how they end up with the circus and what happened with who is that they were running?
Swordsman.
No, who they're running from?
Oh, they're Foster from.
Yeah, Foster.
He just accidentally sent the same story to both editors, and he had to run with it at that point.
I mean, it was good. I liked it. But it was interesting that both of his books that came out the same week like had the same like general format for how they were.
I love that. We said this on the first Hawkeye book that came out. I love the art, how they do the flashback and the watercolors,
yeah.
And then they do the regular, like, kind of Hawkeye feel of the previous book. I like that. They did that with, if you look in the back of this book, they show you the next book's cover, and it's like a mixture of both that shows, like, Hawkeye drawn in, like, two different types of mediums. But it's really cool.
It was good. I enjoyed it. The flashback scenes are definitely, like, impactful and giving...
Makes you curious about the kids, too.
Yeah, the backstory.
And they use their powers, and basically they just, like, I don't know, do they melt your brain or something?
But they can focus it on only certain people, because...
Yeah, they can focus. I thought it was through sound. It seems like, because he's deaf anyways, and he had to take his earpiece out at that point because it was bothering him.
But Kate was right there.
Yeah, but she was fine. So it's somehow they're focusing frequencies of sound or something to kill them. Because, like, after the woman scientist was just like, oh, we can't do anything now, just kill them. And they were just like, no. I don't know how she thought that was going to work, but
yeah,
it was. It's really good. It's a pretty good transition between from the last series to this series, even though we haven't seen the end of the last series. But that's a long story.
I can't believe we're now two issues into the new one.
And it's already, but it was a good transition with that. And then they're, you know, if they force us out of the transition of the art after a while, I don't think it would bother me as much.
No,
the new Hawkeye series is going to end before the old.
I think they thought it out. The thing is, they planned it out what they were going to, how they were going to sell it.
The same boomers there, the same banner between Hawkeye and Kate Bishop.
Yeah.
The only thing that I think the new Hawkeye suffers from is I feel like parts of it play off of what happens in that last issue of...
Yeah, you're right, because, like, why is everyone... Yeah. Yeah, so, well, because you're wondering, like, now she's back with him.
She's back.
And then the deaf in one ear, so they still kind of talk about, and they're trying to give you a little bit of the relationship between Barney and him.
Which, I mean, in the last issue we got, I mean, yeah. it shows something big for Barney. Yeah. We didn't know definitively if he's dead or not, but...
Yeah, that's the thing, too. What was, and then they brought in Swordsman. What was he big in before? I know Swordsman for being a Marvel character, but...
I'm not sure.
He was used before in other things. I'm not sure. But he was brought in, so I'm pretty sure he was a villain. It kind of gives you an idea of why they become. Because originally Hawkeye was a villain, him and Black Widow. And that kind of gives you that little into that. I don't know if we've ever had a really definitive origin story for Hawkeye. Like, why would it matter, you know?
Yeah.
So,
but it looks like this is
now it seems like it does because of the time. Like, people... kind of like Hawkeye from the movie, and
yeah,
so it's good. It really is,
and that's funny because he really hasn't done much in the movie.
No, he hasn't. But he's interested. He's one of the only characters there that doesn't.
He doesn't have a power. Yeah,
and
yeah.
People are speculating that he'll be the one that's killed off in Avengers,
right? Because it doesn't mean anything, which is a shame.
It's kind of shitty. Yeah.
Jeremy Renner's a really good actor.
He is, and he was pretty vocal about like how he wasn't thrilled with.
Yeah,
which maybe that could be why.
From some of the room. I guess people were allowed to retweet their opinions about the Age of Ultron when they saw the movie last week, but they're saying Hawkeye has a big part in the movie.
Yeah,
and the death.
Well,
but that's good because
he takes a jetpack into a space station like he did
that. But
disassemble.
No, I hope he's a bigger character, and I hope hope his character feels more like Hawkeye.
They gave him a little bit of the costume. Like, they're not good. But without the thing on his head, like, what's the point of it? It looks like he's wearing a dress.
No, that thing's stupid.
I don't know.
That's up there with the red trunks for Superman.
But for the Electro.
Why does Wolverine have those things? Wolverines don't have those.
Wolverine has giant claws in his hand. He owns it.
He's like, I'll have it if I want. Yeah, exactly.
Cut you up. If anyone's going to own that dated look, Wolverine is the one that does it.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. So what did you think of Descender? Dave,
I really liked it. I think that was the best thing I read.
Yeah, it was
last week.
It was a really, really good book. I liked how they showed the flashbacks to him being activated and then you know being sent to the mining colony. Just like little touches with him trying to figure out like he's not quite human, but he wants to be more more human as well. And
yeah, it's that old story.
Yeah.
Pinocchio and Data and everybody was human. So,
our strings on him.
But it was good. I liked getting to see where Bandit, like how Bandit came, came to be, and you see that he has some.
He's not talking about the dog from Johnny Quest.
Talking about the dog from December. It was a dog.
I'm sure that's.
Well, no, because the dog from Johnny Quest
is Bandit. Yeah,
that's what they named him after.
they're just like there's a dog or Johnny Quest.
And then there's not a character named Race, is there?
Race Bad.
Yeah. What was
he's just like shut up. I'm trying to talk about the center.
What was his friend?
He gave us a look
Haji.
Like
Haji, yeah.
Haji. Oh. There's no Haji.
Not cool, man. Not cool.
Okay, I didn't
about
name talk him.
About Haji. Is Haji?
I refrained from saying the other racial slurs that end with man. Do I get points for that?
Quest book. Yeah, you get points for Johnny Quest book.
And I like that they had him use some of his like abilities to defend himself, like show that he's this like kid robot, but he actually has some chops to him as well.
Yeah, ends on a bad note.
Yeah,
with the scavengers coming after, they find Tim before the other everybody else who's looking for him.
But they're on their way to.
Wasn't that on number one? So.
Well, This book probably takes place in the 30 minutes that happen after the end of number one.
Okay.
Like, they are chasing him. He's defending himself. He ends up taking one of them out. Blows a hole right through the guy.
Yeah.
But they still manage to get him. Cops have been out in full force, like, this evening in this area.
Yeah.
When I went to go pick up our food, I saw, like, three cops pulling people over. But at the end, he's deactivated, and they're taking him after a call's been put out saying that robot's off limits and to no one should be doing it to him. It was good. I think it's setting up the story pretty well.
Oh, yeah, I'm really enjoying it. Yeah, it's great.
Okay.
What else do you read?
Some Marvel books. S.H.I.E.L.D.
What? No.
Oh, can I talk about Marvel?
Yeah.
I didn't have a single Marvel book this week.
I didn't, okay. But I was focused
just
on
two, that. Just two Marvel books.
Okay.
S.H.I.E.L.D. number 4 by Mark Waid. And Chris Sprouse did the art. I don't think he does much for Marvel.
I don't want to say big concern with that book, but every issue has had a different artist.
Yeah, every's. I'm it's going to be hit and miss, I guess. But I like this issue. It was every story is going to be a one shot here. But this is Invisible Woman. Coulson recruits Invisible Woman to do a mission to. Rescue, get this guy back who's being held captive.
Wait, are they allowed to use
that? That's what I was about to say.
Yeah, yeah.
They can use the big name, the group name.
So it's funny because she tells you know Reed and everybody she's going shopping and so she uses that as a cover to get work for S.H.I.E.L.D. And
sexist.
Yeah.
Did they kind of treat that as like Coulson's been around forever? Like how they talk to him, or are they just
pretty
like
much,
who are
yeah.
you?
Yeah. 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 She didn't ask who Coulson is.
Did they just walk up and they're like, "Oh, Agent Coulson," you know? And
yeah.
Just like,
well, yeah. She's like, "Whenever you need me, you can call. It's no problem.
They go way back.
Whatever you need, she's
no problem.
You're that guy, that obscure guy from S.H.I.E.L.D. You know, never saw it till now.
Does that book tie into the current events of the show?
Not really.
There's a show tie into the current events.
The
Sir Admiral Adama isn't there.
No. I mean, they'll use Gemma and Fitz and Simmons, but
is it mainly a Coulson book?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, he's just in it, you know, at the beginning and the end, because he's. He sends the Invisible Woman to South Africa to capture this, well, not capture, to rescue this guy who's being held captive. He has all this money laundering data that his evil half-brother implanted in his brain.
Yeah.
And he's being held in this mine, in this force field, and she goes down to get him and takes him out. But when he goes out of the force field, he like rips his shirt open. He says, "I have a bomb. If I was taken out of there, you know, I'm going to blow up." So she has to perform surgery with her...
With her powers.
With her powers.
To, she can focus.
To, yeah, to defuse to defuse the bomb.
Yeah.
But
it wasn't a bomb. They were hot dogs.
They all had lunch. All worked out.
So, yeah, I thought it was a good issue. It was good. I liked when Waid was writing Fantastic Four. So it was good to see him writing Invisible Woman again. And Johnny's in it at the beginning a little bit and Reed, so it was cool. Hulk number 14. I think this is the penultimate issue.
Oh, again,
Josh's word.
That was your word, wasn't it?
Well, Josh is the one that
said we're using a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, because we were, because like everything was ending. So
this is pretty much one big brawl between Doc Green and the Red Hulk.
Hulk versus Rulk.
Yep, so, Rulk, that's what they call it.
Yeah. So Deadpool's in it at the beginning. Doc Green hired him to, he has to shoot this some kind of pellet or something in his ear to, it's not to take away his powers, it's kind of just to not make them as powerful. Inhibit them, right? Right. So it was funny, he came out the same week as last week as Deadpool's last book. Deadpool's like, because he's like lining up for the shot. He's like, "I can't die this week. I can't die. You know, I have to die in my own book this week."
Was it like nanites? Is that what they were using? Because they did something very similar of that. And wow, that was an awful thing. But Ultimate Hulk versus Wolverine.
Mm-hmm.
When that book was delayed for almost an entire year, and then when it came back, they used something like that. They hit Hulk with it, and it like fixed it. It took away his gamma cell.
It took a year for them to figure out how they were going to stop the Hulk.
God, that took forever, that book.
So, like the whole issue is pretty much their fight, and at the end, Red Hulk hits Doc Green so hard he turns back into Banner. Mid-flight.
You hate when you hit so hard and you get turned into Banner.
Yeah. So
punch Paul as hard as you can.
See what he turns into.
Angry is what he turns into. It's the reverse of that.
Well, that works out just fine. And he can beat the hell out of Adam.
It works, it works wrong because it usually in this case it would turn into Hulk, but this time it did.
Colin's Red Hulk.
Only on Wednesday.
And the last issue of and the last issue of Star Trek Planet of the Apes.
The Primate Directive.
Thank you. I didn't want to
say only a real Star Wars fan would
say. I didn't want to say I didn't want to have to say the Primate Directive out loud and make Josh mad.
Even though I just said it.
So this wraps up the story. Kirk and the crew, they finally chase the Klingons off the planet and kind of stop the civil war that they're trying, that the Klingons are trying to instigate.
They're monkeys.
Between
apes. Damn dirty apes.
Don't want to be offensive.
Yeah, here. Monkeys are not apes.
They offer to take Taylor with them on the Enterprise, but he says, I'm good. I want to stay on this ape Earth, you know, and figure out what the heck happened to it. Yeah. So then Nova shows up. I don't think she's
been dirty.
Of course he was going to stay. Like,
yeah.
But
yeah.
Then again, it's just like, that wasn't that his mission to get off that planet to begin with? And he had a chance, and then he's just like, go to normal future, go to monkey future.
Isn't Tasha Yar going to show up there?
So everyone, they all be back up to their ships. Everyone's on the Enterprise, and some Klingon reinforcement ships come, and they get, so they're chasing them, and they got, two of the Klingon ships get caught in Saturn's rings and blow up, and at the same time, the Earth, Ape Earth, blows up. This kind of ties into all the movies.
Yeah.
Because they show, in the last couple of pages, Milo, Cornelius and Zira in Taylor's ship, you know, at the beneath the Penal Planet of the Apes.
And
they do the slingshot effect
around the sun.
Around the sun,
and they saw like
to
Abraham
bust
Lincoln,
bust
yeah.
figures from history.
Then that leads into Escape from the Planet of the Apes. If anybody's ever saw that movie, which I enjoyed that movie. When they go back in Earth. They go back in time to present day Earth.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to Star Trek Green Lantern.
Yes, Star Trek Green Lantern.
Yeah.
No.
Although
it's
the new Star Trek cast, at least that's the art is, but still.
Okay.
Okay.
What about Shatter?
What? But we must. Get the lantern.
It wasn't as bad as the last time he did it.
It's
like
you
he does
a shadow.
One time you did it sounded like Christopher Walken.
I was doing Christopher Walken before.
No, that was before. Yeah,
he was talking about
that.
Something.
He did one before, and I was just like, yeah.
He's made a Walken comment. So
I just have one. I just
The Walking
one.
Dead.
He was talking about
that. That would be an awesome show. Just a bunch of Christopher Walken. Trying to kill people?
Parody that
probably.
Oh, really?
It seems like an easy one.
So, Dave, are you done?
I'm done, yeah.
Okay.
He's done now that you took the microphone. you're not talking anymore.
Well, we're going to edit this out.
The only thing that I was able to read was that I haven't thought about yet was Spider-Man 2099, which I think consistently that's been a fairly good book.
I think they're ending it. But
it's ending. But
at least they're ending the main one, too.
What? Spider-Man?
Mm-hmm. Again, but the story.
Hey, it's no Wonder Woman, but
after Spider-Verse, they try to send him back to his time, but when he finally gets there, it's like it's not there anymore. Like the city's gone. He
fell off the pizza. What?
Yeah, fell off the pizza. Yeah.
So it's being run by the Maestro.
So yeah, and that's what it's being run by is the Maestro. And who is basically Hulk in the future.
You can tell he's old because he has a white beard.
Yeah. And they've used him before in other things, but a lot of other things. But in this case, he takes him back to where he is and his, like, whatever his village is or whatever. He throws Spider-Man 29 in prison with
the girl that I guess she's strange from 2099.
No, yeah.
Okay. And she's able to heal him.
That was like two issues.
Yeah, this is. I'm trying to get to because I don't know if we talked about the early stuff.
Yeah, we did.
So I'm trying to skim through it. So basically, she heals him. They go back to fix the time machine, and they he's able to go back in time without her because she's killed by him. Supposedly.
By the maestro, yeah.
And the maestro is shot with something. I don't know what happened there exactly.
It was all part of the maestro's plan, though.
Yeah, but in the end, it was all part of the maestro's plan. And when he gets back in time, he's trying to solve... He goes back to the present time, you know, the regular 616, to figure out what exactly is caused to create this future, to change the future. And he assumes it's something that he has done because he's the only one who's went back. He's worked at Alchemax. So it has to be something that he's created that Alchemax created in order to change the future. So that's what he's trying to figure out. But after Spider-Verse, I think it's been... Actually, even the Spider-Man 2099 in the Spider-Verse book wasn't that bad.
No.
I didn't think it was too bad. And the whole series has been really good, I think. So it's one of those things that's ending. I don't know what they're going to do with it later on because it seems like it's ending kind of abruptly, and it seems like an odd character that they're really trying to work with. But
well, I think that the only complaint people had was just that it was taking place in our
present.
Time.
It wasn't taking place in and it still hasn't. Like they're still not really getting to that.
No, there's been like three issues where it took place in the future.
Yeah,
But they did. You know, they brought in Punisher 2099 at one point, and the Maestro, obviously.
Yeah.
So they were touching upon what was going on in that universe, but they never really explored it enough.
Yeah. So, but I don't know. I think it's been a decent book. I kind of like reading it anymore better than Amazing Spider-Man because I think it has more of a story that's happening. So.
Well, Amazing Spider-Man kind
of. Speaking of which, why didn't the Spiral Spider-Man come out this week? That should have been this week.
What?
17.1.
What?
What?
He knows why, though.
I know why it hasn't come out.
Oh, okay.
Well, good. It's coming out next week. So. One thing, I forgot about this.
The lunch party.
Lunch party.
Lunch party?
Yep.
They can't read. They can't read. But,
noodles?
Pizza.
No, we're in pizza.
You guys suck. Okay? So we got the postcards for the Secret Wars launch party, which I signed up for because you sign up for all the parties because you might get special things that inevitably get canceled for me. But so Wednesday, May 6th is the Secret Wars launch party. And I couldn't think of anything better since basically Marvel's theme for Secret Wars is two pizzas being smashed together.
Are you going to smash them together?
We're going to have a pizza party, and we'll... We won't necessarily be smashing pizzas, but we'll eat pizza.
He's going to go outside. It's going to be a performance.
If you want to smash
pizzas,
he's going to
go outside. He's going to take two pizzas. He's going to go, and he's going to say, Secret Wars.
Battle World! No, I'm just going to be...
Battle World.
So...
Who wants to buy us, Liz?
Mark your calendar. Wednesday, May 6th, probably after 7, after regular hours, we will have a pizza party.
And then I'll
throw
a piece of pepperoni.
And feel free to stick around for the podcast.
Absolutely. And feel free to stick around for the podcast. So, next week, all new X-Men 40. Is it the last issue?
No.
We don't know. Amazing Spider-Man 17.1. See?
Yeah, okay.
You're all worried about it.
Well,
it's coming.
It normally came out the week after.
I know. Well, it's all of a sudden, Spider-Verse was like boom, 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 boom. And since then, it's become monthly, which nobody's used to for Spider-Man book. And Avengers Millennium is ending. Avengers Operation Hydra is beginning.
Didn't Avengers Millennium just start?
Well, it was four weekly issues. You know, because they got to have something on the shelf. You know, since they canceled their other Avengers books.
I feel bad because I didn't even know that was a thing.
Oh,
I didn't know it was weekly. I thought one came out.
I didn't know that there was.
Well, there's plenty on the shelf.
Probably because it's a weekly book.
It's not passive aggressive.
Avengers World 20, another Time Runs Out issue. Beyond Belief, which is a new Image number one. Which I'm not sure about because it's weird because it says cover A, B, and C is the cast photo. So I'm not sure if it's a movie or a TV show or what.
Wait, what's this?
Beyond Belief from Image.
Beyond Belief.
Black Hood number 3. I know Dave's been enjoying Black Hood.
Black Hood, yeah. It's been good.
Convergence number 3. Shocking.
Yeah.
And then the Convergence titles for next week are Adventures of Superman. Now, these are all pre-Zero Hour
Crisis.
These are pre-Crisis titles. Pre-Crisis on Infinite Earths.
I thought that wasn't until next month.
No, no. It's every week has a different
batch. Next month picks back up on...
Yeah, next month are the number 2s.
Okay, I got it. All right.
So we have Adventures of Superman, Batman and the Outsiders, Flash, Green Lantern Corps, Hawkman, Justice League America, probably of America, they just cut it. New Teen Titans, which is cool because it's written by Marv Wolfman. I like that. Superboy and the Legion. Swamp Thing, written by Len Wein, drawn by Kelly Jones.
Looking forward.
I'm excited for that one. And Wonder Woman number 1, not done by the Finches. Okay. Then we have Divinity 3.
That book's
been Drones awesome. Number 1 is from IDW. Empire Rising number 1 from IDW also. What this is, Empire was a book Mark Waid did back in the 90s with his own company. Guerrilla Comics or something like that. About basically a world where the bad guys win and take over.
Oh, the real world.
What? So this is continuing on in that story. I kind of wish the trade had come out first, which would have made sense since they were reprinting the trade. I only ever read issue 1, but it was interesting. And like the big bad guy has this mask and he has a daughter who doesn't really necessarily know that he's a bad guy type of thing. It was interesting. Frankenstein Underground number 2. Number 1 was good. Howard the Duck's number 1 second print finally coming, so if you missed out on getting it since it did sell out rather quickly. Infinite Loop, another one from IDW. Inhuman Special, which is tying in, I think it's a three-parter. I think it was part of that Spider-Man special, and then there's a Captain America special. Invisible Republic number 2, which is still in my reading pile that people, I've heard good things about, I just haven't had a chance to read it. Ivar Time Walker number 4.
Nice.
Captara number 1 is from Image. That's a new Chip Zdarsky one that looks goofy.
Yeah, there's a preview for that in something recently. Maybe it was a book. Maybe it was at the end of our Descender. Yeah, I think there's a book, a preview for that and some other book, but it's like a funny, like, sci-fi.
Yeah.
From what the preview
said. Lady Mechanica, Table of Destinies, or Tablet of Destinies. Slight difference there. And just basically, they just finished up the original run that started like 3 or 4 years ago, and now he's on to more new stuff. Ninjak number 2, I enjoyed number 1. Postal number 3, let's see if the art gets it together, because like I said, the story I found very interesting. Star Wars number 4. So this was the first week we haven't had a Star Wars book, or maybe one of the few. It was odd. Like, I had my Star Wars guys come in and kind of go
like... Yeah, there's 4 books. I think they do 1 a week.
Well, there's 5 Wednesdays, so...
People can only take so much courage.
Exactly. Suiciders number 3. Uncle Scrooge number 1, which is IDW doing Disney books.
Yeah
sure, that makes sense. Gotcha. The Walking Dead TV series 7 action figures. These people have been asking me, where are they? Because most action figures should have come out long ago. So, that's about it. I mean, lots of stuff, but lots of different things. So, that's next week. We will have, hopefully, special guest Sean Wheatley might be back. He messaged me that he's going to be here next Wednesday. I'm hoping he sticks around for the podcast. Sean is the reason we have a podcast. Shortly after I changed the name of the store, I put a thing out on Facebook like, okay, guys, you know, constructive criticism. What do you like? What don't you like about the store? And a couple people said, I wish you were open later on Wednesdays because I can't always get there by 7 because of work. So I'm like, okay, I'll stay open till 8. That's no problem. And typically, you guys see not too many people show up between 7 and 8, especially the people that asked me to stay open never came. Which never made sense. But Sean and I were...
You forgot to tell them.
Yeah, Sean and I were sitting in the chairs and just... dead, like 6:30 was the last customer, and we were just sitting talking, and it was just a real casual, well, how's this selling, what about this, what about when the companies do these kind of promotions, do you see any pink? And we talked for probably about an hour and a half, you know, until 8, and afterwards we kind of went, wow, that would have been a really, really good podcast. It was just a real good, just back and forth, just conversation, but it would have been really good. which led me to buying the recorder and actually doing the podcast. So Sean is the impetus for all this. Sean lives in San Francisco and traveled for work, and I'm assuming he still does. And just he got stationed out here working out at South Point and came down and found me. Well, no, I guess job taking him wherever. I know he changed jobs too.
He's gone to Australia a lot. I don't remember. We were in Ireland.
Yeah, Ireland. Yeah. So, but yeah, he Facebook messaged me either yesterday or this morning. So that'll be fun.
That's the secret origin.
The secret origin of the podcast. So
Daredevil is responsible for the storm.
Yes, Daredevil is responsible for the storm.
Responsible for the podcast.
Yes.
And you talk to him for an hour and a half, but us, you just doodle.
Well, and Adam's responsible for his ulcers.
If it was just you and me, I probably wouldn't be doodling. You know, but when you guys get talking about books I haven't read, I just go, So.
He just thinks about brisket.
So wait, does this mean on May 6th I won't have to go to Firehouse Subs and eat brisket?
That is correct. That is correct. That will be the first launch. It's a launch party, not a lunch party.
I hope you have a bunch of people come at lunchtime looking for their
there's a lunch party.
Their pizza brisket pizza smash.
Lunch party. Oh, brisket pizza.
Don't get him thinking about that. If he's alive by next week. Killed over with a sandwich in your hand.
It'll be a couple weeks.
You know so what? If I had to go,
let's take a poll. Let's have a poll.
Let's poll.
See.
And a poll? Gonna kill over.
Let's have a poll to see who can guess accurately the number of brisket sandwiches he has between now and when he has to have pizza on May 6th.
I could probably guess most of them. I'm the one who gets the most of them.
Employees of the store are not eligible.
I thought you were like checking on your.
That means I'm not eligible.
Thing. Well, why? You can control the thing.
Fair enough.
That gives us now an accurate record of when you get brisket.
What?
Your Fitbit.
Why?
Don't you put it in your app?
That's a little complicated for me right now.
Oh, you skipped the brisket part of your app.
I skipped the food part of the app, yes. Okay. I guess long way around. Adam?
Okay.
We'll talk to you next week.
Buildings in a single bound. Came from out the shadows, cause that's how we get down. I'm in your town. Walk between billionaires and evil scientists. Sorcerer supreme, all the teenagers are buying this. Gamma radiation, nobody could mess with this. Hold steady with venomous symbiotes in my penmanship. Your friendly neighborhood MC back on the scene. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry. All I'm seeing is green and red and blue. I hold the shield for America. Winter soldier out Siberia. Rocking any microphone that's near to ya. Clobbering it till in the coffin you sit. Agenda for extinction, bring out the horsemen of the apocalypse. Part of an evil brotherhood, acolytes that believe. Super friends who make beats and cats that MC. It's the area code to the planet that we protect. The Infinity Watch is now back in effect. Now, put your hands up like this. For all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the heroes undercover ducking, pressing the pigs. For all the villains that he's keeping on that doomsday tip. That's how we do it. Superpowered MC who can spit. That's how we do it. Superhuman on these tracks that I flip. Ain't concerned with them other things. These rappers want to talk about ice chains and fancy cars. Me, I'm trying to build a mansion in Asgard and fund the Hellfire Society. Studio with Cerebro, mind patterns and rhyme, cause I rap about what I feel though. You hear the rhythm and you're hearing the track. I'm here to take it back to days of future past in my raps. I'm the Stan Lee of the streets. Demand things when I speak like your attention and respect when I jam these in the beats. And my tape deck pops, my mixtapes still rock. They're in your system, that's what sound waves telling me on the block. Ricky Bobby Drake's the only ice that I rock with. And mental telepathy is the only style that I talk with. Close your eyes, you can listen up in your mind. During this song, been freestyling there the whole time. Now, put your hands up like this. For all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the heroes undercover ducking, pressing the pigs. For all the villains that he's keeping on that doomsday tip. That's how we do it. Superpowered MC who can spit. That's how we do it. Superhuman on these tracks that I flip. Yeah, cause you ain't seen it quite like this. Because that's how we do it in the 616. I'm gonna go Pietro on these cats, right? Yeah. Spitting a rhythm that nobody's getting. I'm down to the infinite watches. The wisdom will baffle these women and children. I'm ripping tracks. I go Mark 5 with a power pack. Hawkeye.
watch a chain react. Can't lie, I'm a brainiac. Little they know, I'm still in the show. I'm filling the streets, unlimited flow. The second of Doc Ock, when I'm killing it, yo. Please, shots to your chest, you're rocking a mess like Cable did. I'm hungry as Wally West at a kitchen table. Nobody'll save you, kid. I'm Frank with a gun, I'm Hank with his son. I'm Rob when I skip lunch, eating rappers, man. So thanks for the gum. I'm Stark's wallet back before all these banks had a run. I'm Lex Luthor when I rap, I'm trying to blank out the sun. Cause all I see are friendly faces and shifty eyes, keeping these anonymous commenters honest, making them realize. You love to hate me on the net when I try. That's why you get no love when you're up on my block. Now, put your hands up like this for all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the heroes undercover ducking press in the pits. For all the villains steady steaming on that Doomsday tip.